Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, good morning, Dave Damashek and Teresa Strasser.
Good morning.
Says you.
Steelers, big loss yesterday. Up by 10 points. Don't usually give away that kind of lead. We'll get into that.
Don't start with me.
I was at Kimmel's yesterday. Dave was not there because his parents were in town.
Still are.
I guess still are.
We shared the pain last night.
Yeah, but seems like you could have left them alone on Sunday and swung by Kimmel's for a while. I must say, there's some good games yesterday. So I was over at Kimmel's watching ball. Let's see. Kimmel made burgers, made his teriyaki burger and a big baked potato. Also, my dog Molly threw up. Think about, you know, much is made about doggy doo-doo, but not so much about its close cousin, the vomit. Vomit worse, really. The doo-doo, depending on what form it's in, 80% of the time can be gobbled up with one paper towel and disposed of. The vomit, not when it's big vomit, what Molly did yesterday. A lot of cleaning up. And also, dogs seem to do it in a place. It's never in the corner. It seems to be front and center. So you can just be down on all fours, sort of, you know, mopping up after the dog while people are yelling, you know, move your ass. I can't see the TV set. Mm-hmm. So it's humiliating. She threw up right in front of the TV set. I just sit there and mop it all up. And it's many paper towels and no good way.
So what did you owe the vomit?
I don't know.
Just table scraps.
Molly got
incessantly.
She got into something. She's brazen, you know. She got up on the banquette and started walking around. And she's actually physically up on, you know, Jimmy has a booth. She walks around on top of the booth. She stuffs her head into people's plates. She does that thing where she puts her head on your thigh when you're eating and puts pressure on your thigh with her humongous head. So she had a good time. We had burgers. We had potatoes and Big Tata. You know, I don't like to upset people who bring over pie, especially people that bring pie. But, and I got to say this first quickly, somebody brought a quiche and it was demolished because quiche is cheese, eggs, ham, and basically a pie crust. Somebody wrote a book called Men Don't Eat Quiche 20 years ago and everyone bought into the lie. There's a few things that we sort of take as gospel. One is men never ask for directions, number one. Number two, men don't eat quiche. And the other one is you're hungry 20 minutes later after you eat Chinese food. I haven't bought into any of these things. I'll ask for directions. The quiche was demolished by a bunch of football-watching men who are drinking beer, and they're washing the quiche down with the beer. Quiche is great. It's if you like scrambled eggs, cheese, ham, and a pastry crust, you can't go wrong with quiche.
Yeah, just break it down. What's to disagree with? By ingredient. Everything sounds delicious.
Yeah. Like, you know how guys are. Oh, I hate melted cheese with ham and eggs. Yeah. Yeah, no. We're not eating rose petals in Gina Tay, for Christ's sake. But somebody, it always drives me nuts when somebody does something in society that's off the mark, like real men don't eat quiche, and everyone goes, hey, yeah, he's right. I always want to jump in and scream, no, he's wrong. But then it's this sort of horse that gets out and it just starts running wild. Next thing you know, stupid people, yes, that's what happens. Stupid people perpetuate this stuff by repeating stuff that's not clever that other people said. Some guy said for the first time in 1989, drop trow, and then a whole bunch of horrible radio DJs thought that was super clever, and the next thing you know, everyone's saying dropping trow. It never should have been. Mm-hmm. Someone should have nipped that one in the bud. Maybe we should have gotten nipped in the bud out of there, too. I just said it.
That one.
No, it's solid. But it's no dropping trow. Point is Tad brought over pies because it's $5.99 Marie Callender, mm-hmm, any pie. He brought over two banana cream, which he brought over last week.
Your favorite, right?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say my favorite, but certainly up there. The beauty of pies is they're like my children.
No,
Sonny's
favorites.
My favorite. Yeah, I know you thought I was going another direction there, but no, the boy's clearly my favorite. Clearly. Clearly. No, it's hard. Depends what kind of mood you're in. You know, there are times when a banana cream would be good, but there are other times when the pumpkin would be good. But Dave and Teresa, I'm just going to ask you, because I had spoken about it off the air a little bit when I got a USA Today pie chart, ironically, that explained which pie was consumed the most in this country. What do you think the third pie Big Tad brought was?
The third pie?
Okay, yes.
Okay, he brought two banana creams.
Yes, and you may have difficulty thinking of it because it doesn't sound like a pie to same people.
I have to factor in Tad's logic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah.
Dave, you have any ideas?
Coconut cream.
Dave, you should know. I do know.
I just don't want to ruin the surprise.
Coconut cream.
Okay, all right.
I want to throw out a good sounding pie because would be logical.
Thank you. It was not coconut cream. No, it was not pumpkin. No, it was not apple.
Cherry.
It was chocolate pie.
What?
And I was screaming about this a week ago, probably off the air, because that's where I saved the good rants for, kiddies, if you're listening.
I remember that rant.
The USA Today had some sort of breakdown of what pies were consumed the most, and chocolate, 18%, I think it was tied. I think it was like apple, pecan, and then third was like chocolate was tied with pumpkin. And I argue, chocolate's not a pie. It's pudding that's spooned into a pie filling. There's nothing wrong with it in a pie tin. There's nothing wrong with it. It's fine, but it's not really pie. And if you got the fruit, you know, you got the banana cream, you got two cream pies, get a fruit pie. Go with the pumpkin pie, apple pie, cherry pie, whatever it is, pie. But chocolate pie, and again, it's one of these things I think I would like to do. They won't do this. They don't do the kind of test I want to see on TV, but I would like to measure people's intelligence. I'd like to see how many folks that had MBAs from Harvard drank Sunny D, for instance, or grape soda, or ate this chocolate pie. I'd like to figure out what, you know, enjoyed the Mountain Dew. I'd like to find out.
You're saying it's trashy to eat chocolate pie.
It is. It's not really. It doesn't. Don't bring a pie if you're going to bring chocolate pie. Bring cake.
Bring chocolate cake.
That's what I'm saying.
An inverse correlation, as they say in math, between intelligence and the drinking of Sunny D.
Well, if you drink Sunny D after the age of 7, then you have a serious problem. And then Mountain Dew, that's a whole Nectar of the Tards conversation. I don't even want to get into that. But Tad brought, I was enjoying his pumpkin, I should say the banana cream pie, but I was yelling at him every time I took a breath about bringing the chocolate pie.
Sure, he enjoyed that.
Listen, I don't know why you arbitrarily have decided that, I don't want to get your goat at this hour.
Too late.
I have enough pain already this morning. But what's right? If it's good chocolate pudding that's filling the pie, what's your beef? It tastes good.
Then bring chocolate pudding.
What do you mean? Do you like bananas?
Yes, I like bananas.
Well, so? Do you like them smushed up into pie?
There's chocolate cake.
Both.
There's chocolate cake. There's brownies. There's everything under the sun that is chocolate. There's no reason to expand into pie. Pie, the fruit really is the part of the pie that you crave. That's the part that you enjoy, if you think about it.
No, I like a pumpkin pie. I like a coconut cream pie.
Like
a Boston cream pie.
You won't get the Boston cream anymore for some reason. No one gets those.
I know. Whatever happened to Boston cream pie?
Way of the dodo pie.
It's extinct.
That's what I call my wife. All right. What else did I want to talk about? Because I got stuff to talk about. So anyway, Jimmy made some burgers. The dog vomited. We all missed Dave Damashek. Everybody went insane over the Dallas game, except for me, who took Philly, I believe, but I had to sit on my hands. It's always weird when you're secretly hoping something happens that the entire room is hoping doesn't happen. And, what else? Well, I could launch into other things or we could take a break. Teresa, yes?
I was just going to ask you if you saw The Departed.
No, but I'm trying. I'm trying. Did you see it?
Yes, I assumed you would have seen it. You love Scorsese.
I do. You know what I did? I get a little ruined for the Arclight. The Arclight Theater over here, it's a theater that sort of got it right. They charge an extra $1.50. People, go ahead and pay an extra $1.50 and get the nice high back chair with the lumbar thing in it and the guy that gives you the assigned seating and all. It kind of ruins you a little bit for the other theaters. And I'm always disappointed when the movie I want to see is not playing over. The Guardian is playing in 9 theaters over at the Arclight, but no Departed. I don't know how they figure that out. There must be some kind of thing about, well, if the Chinese is going to play it, then no theater within 3 miles can play it. There must be something at work there.
Yeah, they do that.
There's some gerrymandering that goes on with these theaters over there. I'm just saying, what I always call the Arclight first, because the popcorn's good and the seats are high and you get the sign thing and everything is on the up and up. And like I said, it's, I don't know, it's another $150, but it's the best $150 you're ever going to spend for your two-hour movie-going experience. And then when my movie's not playing there, I always get a little deflated. And then I start pecking around. I find out it's at the UA over in North Hollywood, and I'm like, kind of ruined. The other thing they have is the, if you go to the Chinese out here, they have the VIP section.
Oh.
You pay an extra $8 or $10, you get a high back leather chair and your own popcorn valet.
Really?
Guy comes around.
Popcorn valet.
Yeah. Guy comes around and brings you popcorn. He takes your order. Wow. Comes around, takes, unclear whether you tip him or not. I do. He comes by, you get an order of popcorn, he orders your drink, and he brings it to you.
How about that?
Yeah. It was funny because the last time I was there, I saw a whole bunch of people climb over the wall and jump into the leather seats, a bunch of guys like me and Ray when we were 19 and 20. And then eventually the people who were supposed to inhabit those seats with the ticket stubs showed up, and they stood there. And then, of course, one of the popcorn valets got involved, and then one of the ushers got involved. I like the part when people who have been busted act confused. What? Okay, so you have the stubs? Yeah, those are our seats. Okay, because, well, I see you just climbed a wall to get into this area. I just saw you scale the wall. Just please take your medicine and slink out of there. You don't have to act confused. I thought you had the stubs for the VIP. Okay. The belly's still red from them scraping them on the divider to try to keep people like them out of the thing. I just like the confused part. I like when people get busted. I love when they go bust the, you know, guy who runs the auto body shop because he's been gouging the elderly, and he starts to bring out the clamshell monitor and he opens it up. We have hidden camera footage of you ramming a flat bar into that old man's transmission. I don't know about that. He's looking at it. I like the process when the person is getting busted, whether they've been caught for cheating, whether the guy who busts the pedophiles in the kitchen says, well, I have a whole stack of emails here with your username on it.
I was trying to help the kid.
Oh, well, you'll enjoy the news because that's coming up.
I tell you what, I will... I got to believe, I'm one thing I got to work on with my kids is that moment. Whether it's the cop bust you and says, you've been drinking tonight, or any marijuana in the car, you mind if I take a look, or you're in the VIP seats, or I have this long thing of emails with your screen name on. It's that one moment you have to get past, and nobody ever prepares for it. Everyone prepares for the next day or the next hour, but they don't prepare for that 1 second where they walk through the front door and the old lady confronts them in the entry hall about the cheating, or the usher busts them, or the cop pulls them. That one, it only lasts about 8 seconds. It's that, and it's all... It's all given away. There's no poker face for that. It's all your shields are down. You're most vulnerable. And then you straighten up and try to fly right. But the next, all the lawyers and all the sworn statements after that aren't going to help for that one F-up you give. That one point when the cop puts his flashlight in your face and says, can I check the trunk? That one, it's the answer you give right then and there. It's that first answer nobody's ever prepared. They see the guy's eyes spinning around. Blah, 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 blah. And then once you do that, it doesn't matter what your tact is. It's not going, oh, yeah, sure, help yourself. Knock yourself out. Why? I don't know. If you like looking at a Jack and a can of fixin', by all means. Now it's all screwed up. It's all screwed. Just that one moment. You could ace every job interview. You could probably get out of every ticket. Your wife would never catch you cheating. If we could just train you to act correctly in that one moment. The way not to act is how they act in movies when they are really guilty.
That's what?
Whatever it is, it's a tell. so the audience at home knows, oh, I guess he was up to something.
Oh, I see, yeah.
See, yeah, don't give that tell look. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's looking down. Sometimes you look people right in the eye and it seems a little too much. It's interesting. You know what you need to do? You need to go for a dry run when you haven't actually done whatever it is you're being accused of doing to see how you... That's what I'll do. I'm going to start a business where I come to people's houses and I've set up video cameras. They do all... You know, like when a guy... They're trying to analyze a guy's golf swing. Slow motion video cameras. I'll put them all over the entryway, and then I'll just wait for the husband to come walking home, and I'll have my actress. He'll come walking in, and they'll be like, Herb, you've cheated on me. I just know it. And I'll get the real reaction of the guy who didn't actually cheat yet.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that is, then we'll work on it with my coaches, and that'll be the exact
thing. Maybe we could do that. Maybe we could throw some things at you and accuse you of things, and then you could provide the script for all to play off of in the future.
I think the problem is, and I appreciate it, but the problem is I think it all is individual to individual. I think the wife, it's not going to be that way with the cop. In the case of the wife knows the way her husband acts, his idiosyncratic behavior, his ins and his outs, his tells, as it were. So he has to then react how she knows he's going to react or not react.
Yeah, like suddenly the husband starts talking and the wife is saying, why are you talking about chocolate pie right now?
I like to get busy with things that involve my back to my wife if I get popped on something. I get up in the shelf, I'm moving cans.
Nice.
Big stuff that had been canned many years ago in the upper shelves. Talking and moving. That's my whole thing. Arms flying around. Flailing and talking.
It's a distraction. Good.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Ooh, I didn't see The Departed this weekend, but somebody who did. Oswaldo. Yeah, that's the sound he was making at my house about 6 o'clock on Friday when he was calling his wife. Ozzy's going to review that. We're going to go over our football picks. Arianna Huffington is coming into studio. Author and political pundit. Also, Kobayashi, the great Kobayashi. It's been a little while. Hot dog eating champ is going to call in. David, our prisoner, is going to be on the blower today as well. All that coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
Less ads, more Adam. You asked for it. The Adam Carolla Show.
Who was Nicaraguan born, came to the States to flee a war? That's Oswaldo.
It's Oswaldo.
And who makes this sound when he needs his wife around? That's Oswaldo. Whose flapsteak is Hall of Fame, but can't pronounce Adam's name?
Adam?
Oswaldo.
That's Oswaldo.
And whose English sucks ass and reviews make us laugh, that's Oswaldo.
Yeah. All righty. There we go. What's happening, Ozman?
Good morning, Adam.
Adam.
How are you today?
Doing good. Yeah. Yeah. What's happening, Oz? What do you got on tap for today? You coming over to my house?
Yep. I didn't continue working in Washer House.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for naming the street.
Oh,
I appreciate it. I don't live there.
Fortunately, no one has any idea what he just said.
No.
No, did sort of sound like Wilshire, didn't it?
A little.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
Ozzy, what is it about? Now, I was someone was saying you have a speech impediment. I said, no, Ozzy doesn't have a speech impediment. He just can't pronounce anything. You don't have a speech impediment, do you, Ozzy?
I don't know.
No?
No.
No. But names. Names you have trouble with. Yeah?
A little bit. A
little bit. Just everyone whose name I know. Well, you could do Dave, right?
Yep.
Well, how's that go?
Well, Dave.
Dave?
Dave.
Well, maybe not.
Dave Damichet.
Dave. Dave.
Dave.
Dave.
Dave. Dave. Dave.
Well, here's usually how it works with Ozzy, although you've lucked out, my friend, Dave, because he'll start with Dabe, and then I'll say, no, that's not Dabe, it's Dave, and then he'll say Dave, and then I'll say, no, it's not Dave, it's Dave, and then he'll say Dave. And we'll do that 26, 27 times, and eventually we'll settle on Dave. We'll compromise, which is we'll just leave out the letter we're mispronouncing. We won't pronounce it correctly. And as I say every single time Ozzy goes on the air, the time when you start getting upset is when you flip-flop and do it both ways 133 times, and then you realize just how easy it is. After you go, no, it's not Dave, it's Dave. Not Dave, Dave. And you go back and forth 30 times and you realize, oh, I'm just flip-flopping between the way you pronounce it and the way Dave's mom pronounces it. Why don't you just go ahead and flip-flop with me? Right?
Yep, Dave.
Yeah! Oh, nice. There's theories about Ozzy, too. There's some people who go, oh, no, he could do it. He's just screwing with you.
Just give him Dave to start, and maybe he'll come up with Dave.
Mm-hmm.
He's a contrarian.
Interesting. So, Ozzy, you saw The Departed.
Yeah.
Lucky guy. I wanted to see that this weekend.
Very good movie.
Very good. Yeah, well, let's hear the review.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen.
The movie that I saw this weekend was Is Departed.
Mm-hmm.
The Departed star Leonardo DiCaprio is Billy Costigan.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Damon is Colin Sullivan.
Matt Damon.
All right. Damon.
Damon, yeah.
Is Colin Sullivan. Mark Wahlberg.
Wahlberg. Pretty popular, the Berg sound out here. Wahlberg?
Wahlberg is Digman, the hero.
Mm-hmm.
The guy killer, you know, in the end.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No.
Jack.
Don't tell the end of the movie.
No. My wife wanted to see today.
Jack Nicholson is Frank Costello.
Now, Jack Nicholson, you pronounce pretty well. Is it because you know the name? You've heard the name?
Yep.
Okay.
It's my one of my favorite star.
Jack Nicholson.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Here is the trailer for the movie.
Oh, we have a trailer.
Yep.
All right.
Everything for you.
We are an elite unit. Our primary target, Frank Costello.
He won't be paid as a regular cop.
So what do I do?
You'll not ever know the identity of undercover people.
Get your hands off me.
You got a cop in my crew.
He's going to find out who I am and kill me.
The Departed is a film based in the South Boston Police versus Organized Crime.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Costello, Jack Nicholson, in the part, the mafia guy.
Let's go over that last paragraph one more time. The Departed is a film
based in South Boston Police versus Organized
Versus. That's right. See, we are V. Perhaps you've not heard this one before. We do our V's like a V.
Sometime.
All right.
Versus Organized Crime Chief Costello, Jack Nicholson.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, the mafia guy washed the brain to a little boy with dirty psychology.
Dirty psychology,
yeah.
He washed the brain. He brainwashed him.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, sell grocery for the grandmother, you know, help her to money, cash.
Brainwashed. Mm-hmm.
The boy turned into a police officer and infiltrated in the SBPD, South Boston Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the police and FBI undercover cop Billy Costigan, Leonardo DiCaprio, inside in the bad organization.
Mm-hmm. So there's a man on the inside who's a cop.
On both sides. Yeah. In the mafia and in the police.
Interesting.
Yep. Very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
The best part is the clean shot in the head.
Clean shot in the head.
Your wife almost came running up when you made that sound.
Hoping that comes toward the end, yeah. Yeah, now who was the director of this movie? Not part of the story?
No, it's only the review.
Mm-hmm.
No make a fam of nobody.
Never, have you ever heard of Martin Scorsese? No?
No.
It's good radio when you make your eyes real big. It's good radio. Okay.
In the 80th day, the Departe tag this reviewer, call.
And that was as one movie review.
Yeah.
We hope you did not end up too confused. Oh, no, as one.
Now, Teresa, you saw this picture, too.
Yeah, I saw it.
Cold or warm?
It left me warm. Warm's good, right?
Yes.
Cold's bad. Yeah, in fact, as the credits were rolling in the end, I really thought I could watch this movie again immediately.
Wow. Mm.
Don't crash!
So it's not as good as Goodfellas.
I'd say it is.
You'd say it is?
Yeah.
Wow.
Heavy praise. That's your favorite.
Very high praise.
Yeah.
I think it is certainly my favorite Scorsese film, although Casino gets, I got to tell you, give Casino a look.
Short shrift. I think a lot of people said that Casino, coming on the heels of Goodfellas, they're like, oh, it's just the same movie, which of course it is not if you watch the two pictures.
No, and it's really cool if you're into the whole Vegas 70s vibe. I mean, it's great. And as much as you hate, what's that evil actress's
name? Sharon Stone.
Sharon Stone. She was great in it. And James Woods was great in it. Everyone was great in it. It's epic. It's cool. It's great seeing the behind the scenes of all. And I'm sure that's just how it was behind the scenes in the sort of cowboy days of the early 70s in Las Vegas. Great movie. Good rental. So this one is good, too.
Yeah, I loved it.
Well, I'm going to go watch it. Thanks, Oz.
You're welcome, man.
Nice work. And coming up next, we'll do some news. We'll do our sports roundup as well. We got to recap our picks, spin the wheel, find out who the winner was. T.
Well, you talked a little bit about how people react when they're busted. I'm going to play a little of To Catch a Predator from this Friday night, which is always fun.
Can't get enough.
I know, me too. And a major celebrity takes a shot at Pittsburgh.
Some sweet tea? I have some Toll House cookies. I'll be out. I gotta just load a laundry in before it wrinkles. I'll be out. Okay. Everybody ought to do that just to F with everybody now. If there's a woman listening and you invite a man over to your house, let yourself in. I have some sweet tea. I don't care if you're married. If my wife did that, you know, I've known my wife for 10 years. If I came into my own home and my wife said, oh, you're here, help yourself. I'd be, okay, what's up? What's going on? Is there a camera in that hamper? I think there is. Just do it and freak everybody out. Although if I came home and smelled Toll House cookies, I'd immediately become suspicious.
Yes, the lemonade's the new thing now on To Catch a Predator.
Oh, really?
Yes, she's got the fresh-made lemonade. Pour yourself a glass.
No more sweet tea. All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be back with the news and sports after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo.
Today, Ariana Huffington.
That's Ariana Huffington.
Tesla, the guy who make electric cars.
Tesla Motors, yeah, electric cars. Good job.
And the prison guy.
And yeah, the prison guy. Prisoner David. Sweet.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, forget about me. Here's Teresa Strasser in the news.
For the first time ever, North Korea tested nuclear weapons yesterday. Reports coming in last night from North Korean officials that North Korea had set off an atomic weapon underground. The White House hasn't confirmed claims of this underground test, but the UN Security Council is meeting this morning to discuss the situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I gotta say, their fearless leader looks insane to me, and that's the thing that scares me about them having the bomb.
Kim Jong-il?
Yes, you know, my theory about guys who dye their hair, how the roots of the hair poisons your brain. What's closer to your brain than the roots of your hair, if you think about it? Don't F with those. You're essentially building a canal to go poison the aqueduct known as your brain.
Well, the entertainment news, we just heard a review of The Departed from Ozzy, and it was number one at the box office, making $27 million. This is a record opening for Scorsese. His previous best was $10.3 million with Cape Fear in 1991. His films usually debut in narrow release, but this had a lot of big stars, Nicholson, Matt Damon, Leo DiCaprio, so it was in wide release. Coming in at number two, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning.
How does that work? How do we have an audience for those kinds of movies?
It is curious.
And those movies, you don't hear about them until 4 days before they come out. Then, boom, they just come out and everyone goes and sees them. Do they do some sort of internet thing? How do they do some sort of viral advertising? How does that go?
I think teenagers love horror movies.
Yes. All right.
It made $19 million, followed by Open Season, Employee of the Month, and The Guardian, rounding out the top five. Mm-hmm. On TV, Chris Hansen back on To Catch a Predator.
Oh, great.
And as usual, this on Dateline NBC, he has a decoy that chats online and lures guys over. The decoy pretends to be a 13-year-old girl. She's home alone. Now, here in this clip, a 31-year-old computer engineer claims that this after Chris Hansen busts him and he has that moment of indecision where he has to decide how he's going to handle it. He decides that he's going to go with this. He was worried about her safety because she was home alone and he kind of wanted to be like a big brother to her.
What part in the counseling process was the oral sex going to play?
I was not. Like I said,
I'm
not
your
because,
words?
Because, like I said, you know, she's the one who led me on all this.
I am
just
being very bad, like a pervert.
She was playing and I was playing. I guess that's all about it, honestly. Yeah, I'm looking into your eyes straight and telling you the truth. My conflict of coming here was to make sure she was okay.
Well, I'm looking you straight in the eyes, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Now, my other favorite part of these confrontations is when Chris Hansen is forced to read back parts of the transcripts of the online chats.
Yeah.
So it's Chris Hansen saying things that are inappropriate. Here's just a few snippets that I enjoyed.
What girl wants to give oral sex when a man isn't shaved? I want to wrestle you so freaking bad. I'd let you in just so I could feel you on top of me. I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
And then he always ends up saying something akin to this.
You're telling me a big fat lie.
And then they go off to the little mobile unit.
Yeah, because first, the first thing they do is think it's the person's dad. So
right.
they get ultra casual. He'll just come around the corner. How are you? Fine. But you can tell their brain is just fire neurons exploding and firing in their head, but all they can muster is, fine. Then they realize who it is. Then they say, I was just chatting on the internet. I came over here. One guy said he was going to take her out to bowl or shoot pool. That's like a 13-year-old to shoot pool. He can't even be appropriate when he's lying. I thought we'd go watch the cockfights, shoot a little eight ball, you know, maybe get a pitcher of beer. No big deal. So he goes, and then the transcripts come out. When the transcripts come out, that's when the guy knows the wheels have come off the wagon. This time, they're showing the chick.
Yes.
They got an 18-year-old actress who's playing a 13-year-old. Yeah. It's always unclear. Well, why don't you just get a 13-year-old? It's not like he's got to F her.
I think it might be kind of creepy for a 13-year-old actress to play the part.
I know, but Brooke Shields did nudity in Pretty Baby. Come on now.
She did. That's right.
The part I feel sorry for is when the guys get tackled on the lawn. And I realize cops spend their whole day looking to tackle people. And that maybe is the problem. Maybe that's why there's too much police brutality is cops are comprised mainly of white guys who played high school football but couldn't make it at the junior college level when it came to the pigskins. But when you're 23 and you're playing outside linebacker in high school 5 years earlier, you're dying to tackle somebody, especially on a lawn. And it's the same thing. It's the guy, it's the 120-pound guy, the pedophile with the sweater vest, and they're like, sir, stop breaking again! And they all just pile on him. The guy's just standing there like, what? Huh? The guy's usually a little bit confused. They just tackle him to the ground every time. And then I feel bad for the guy because tackle the guy when he makes a run for it. Tackle the guy when he fights with you. But when he's just standing there holding his hands up, probably don't need to tackle him.
Yes, there's always that moment where you feel a little bit bad for the predator and
get
then you hate
ground.
Yourself.
Yeah, when the cop's voice cracks when he's yelling, get on the ground, and then eight of the morbidly obese cops are tackling the guy who's just standing there.
Yes. Now, speaking of things that were attacked unfairly, Pittsburgh came up in the news. The actress Sienna Miller, who mostly is famous for having the boyfriend Jude Law cheat on her with the nanny, she came out in an interview in Rolling Stone discussing a movie called The Mysteries of Pittsburgh. Apparently, she's not having a great time shooting there. She called the city... How do I say this? It rhymes with Pittsburgh, but it starts with an S-H.
Wow.
Yes, then she came out and said, can you believe this is my life? Will you pity me when you're back in your funky New York apartment and I'm still in Pittsburgh?
I need
to get more glamorous films and stop with my indie year. Now, she's come out and apologized.
Well, maybe she was making fun of herself there when she was talking about more glamorous films.
But she did
Like her either.
She did call it S-H-berg. Whatever.
The City of Champions?
Well, she's
Rand McNally in 1984 named it America's most livable city?
Dave,
Excuse me. I
spent the summer there, and I thought it was a beautiful city, and I wanted you to hear her apology. She said... I was referring to the fact that we are shooting almost all night shoots on this film, and none of us have had the opportunity to fully explore the city. What I have seen of it is beautiful.
Creep.
You're telling me a big fat lie.
Publicist wrote that.
I think so. Well, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
She'll get hers. Oh, she'll get hers. Vengeance shall be mine. Jerkless be thy name. Listen, that's just a drop in the bucket for this weekend. Just as spring means the birth of all things, so too does fall mean their death. In other words, this weekend sucked it. Real bad for me. Won't be any Major League Baseball in Southern California or anywhere else on the West Coast till next spring. That's because both the Dodgers and Padres got eliminated from the playoffs over the weekend.
9 months we sit around waiting, and then it's settled in 4 days. 9 months of these guys playing ball. 162 games settled. When what, five games?
That's right. Wow.
I mean, not five games, five days.
Three games for the Dodgers to be eliminated, one more than that for the Padres to be
there. Thank God we played 162 just to get to this.
I went out there on Saturday night and watched their demise, the Dodgers. I had one last Dodger dog, and that will have to keep me warm throughout the winter.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Huddle up. It's time to take a look at the weekend that wasn't football.
Yeah.
Miserable weekend personally. 0-for both my fantasy teams lost. The pools I'm in went horribly. We'll get to our weekly picks in just a moment. And then there are the Pittsburgh Steelers. Winona Ryder said in Dracula, take me away from all this death. Number 7, Big Ben Roethlisberger. Bludgeoned last night by Sean Merriman and his Charger pals. Tomorrow, I will be sporting a dress because of a debt that I owe Sean Merriman from a bet we made this past Friday. Here it was. So if the Steelers win, you have to shave DD into the side of your head, my initials, and then what would you like to have happen in return if the Steelers should lose, which is a moot point because they're not going to.
You got to put on a skirt.
Put on a skirt. All right, listen, that's going to be nothing compared to the black shroud that currently adorns my heart. All right, listen, we can talk about, we'll get to T.O. and all his nonsense with Philadelphia yesterday and the good day for a couple of USC alumni. But right now, let's take a look back at our NFL picks from this past week. All right. Ace, Molly the dog, and Jesse Jane the porn star, along with me. We went into the week. Our record going into the week, Ace, you were 8-8 on the season. Molly the dog, 7-9. Jesse Jane was 7-5 because she, of course, sometimes is unintelligible because, she's hard to understand. Thank you. And I was a robust 12-4. Now, the first game we chose was that aforementioned Dallas at Philly game. T.O. went home and was booed heartily, and the Philadelphia Eagles slaughtered them. Ace, you took Philly. I took Philly. Molly the dog took Philly. Jesse's the only one who lost that. Wait a second. That's incorrect. That's written down incorrectly there, Brusca. That's a loss. I took the Philadelphia Eagles. I took the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. I'm an honest fella.
How about that? I
was confused about that because I went to AdamCarolla.com over Kimmel's, actually, trying to figure out, well, what did Dave take? What did I take? And it said that you took Philly, but then I remember thinking, no, Dave didn't take Philly. So how is it that Brusca and whoever posted it got it wrong? Did Brusca post it, or did we get it off the post, or how did that work? Because I remember you said you were taking Dallas.
I got to ask my fine crack staff how that happened. Go figure, Carter's wrong.
Philly was given 3.5. They covered it by more than enough thanks to a last-minute touchdown interception return. All right, so that put me behind the eight ball. Oakland at the San Francisco 49ers, battle for the Bay. Ace, you, me, and Jesse Jane all went with the 49ers. Only Molly the dog lost with the Raiders there.
My wife very concerned about Molly's picks last night. What did Molly do? What? I remember she took one game. Was it Oakland? And she very disappointed when she found out. Honey, could you prioritize for 10 goddamn seconds in your life? Worried about the dog, what the picks were.
The game that broke my heart, besides the Steeler game, of course, Arizona Cardinals had a huge lead in the fourth period. They blew it to the Kansas City Chiefs. Matt Leinart's debut spoiled. We all push because it was a three-point spread there. Yeah. The Cardinals were receiving three. At home, they had it put away, and somehow they gave it up, and so we all wind up with a tie.
I was trying to figure out whether it was 3.5 on that game or 3. I couldn't figure out what it was. I went online. It said 3.5, so I thought we screwed up, but the line shifts and moves around. As a matter of fact, Cousin Sal, the bookie, Jimmy's Cousin Sal's essentially professional bookie, said the Dallas-Philly game got down to 1 point.
Wow.
There's nothing worse than giving away 3.5 points in a tight-fought game and then realizing, oh, you could have got one if you'd bet with me 20 minutes ago.
So the odds change up until the kickoff?
The thing that people need to know about odds is the odds, and Dave, you stop me if I'm wrong, what Vegas wants is half the people to vote for this team and half the people to vote for the other team. They want them to wager on this. They want it split down the middle. So if too many people start betting on one team, they'll go ahead and shift the odds to entice people to vote on the other. I say vote, I mean gamble on the other. Their whole thing is they want it 50-50. They don't want 70-30.
They want the middle, yes. Sopranos episodes have revolved around trying to find that middle because, of course, the VIG, that 10%
right.
that the bookmaker gets.
They get it in any case.
Yes.
So it's really arbitrary what the points are. It's just that point, and that's what they do. They go 3 points, and half the people in the room go, and that's what they want. Sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
Lastly, as I already mentioned, the Pittsburgh Steelers lost to the San Diego.
Oh, my God. They looked so dominant in the first quarter. And the idea that I was giving away 3.5 points and they were up 10-0 and their defense was flying around the ball and Big Ben looked good. It just, I don't know what happened to them. You got to give your props to San Diego. They came out in the second half and played inspired
ball.
Let me give
San Diego props for this. Those uniforms are fantastic.
Throwbacks, yes.
I love those. All right, everybody took the San Diego Chargers but me. This makes Adam Carolla 3-0-1 on the week. Dave Damashek, for the first time in the history of this radio program, a losing record on the week. 1-2-1 for me. My heart is broken, but what else is new? This weekend was an apocalypse for me.
Let's break your back and your bank by spinning this wheel.
Ace and I are head-to-head spinning of the wheel with all sorts of denominations on there. We have as low as 50 cents and as high as what? $2,000 still? Is that the highest on there?
Let's go through the wheel here. 50 cents. $5,000, $100, $250, $500, spin again, reverse. Now, this is the chance that if it lands on reverse, winner now, loser, I'll have to go spin, and whatever it lands on goes to Sheck, unless it lands on reverse again, in which it goes back to me. $1,000, $50, $5, spin again, double last week's
to
moolah.
review, I, in spite of dominating the first 3 weekends of the season, I accumulated a grand total of $600 from Carolla, but then Carolla ekes out victory last week and spins $1,000 on the wheel.
And before we
just
spin,
my luck.
Sorry.
So you're into me for $400.
Right. How did Molly the dog do in case Adam's wife Lynette is listening?
Molly the dog also defeated me. 2-1-1.
Lynette also commented on the Chargers new uniforms or throwback uniforms, although you'd have to replace the word uniform with costume.
That's what I
to get it exactly correct.
Yes, I like their costumes.
Outfit.
That's their the outfit. Not even going to dignify that with an answer. Posture on the sofa. Wow. Once like, all throw in the condescending wow.
Yes. And I like calling practice rehearsal. Why didn't Tio go to rehearsal?
Like he's wearing a codpiece. Okay, let's spin that wheel, Brusket. Yes. See where it goes.
I'm sure it's going to be 2,000.
I got to tell you, my heart starts. There's 5,000 on there, Damashek.
Oh,
I wouldn't
5,
be so
right
sure.
Oh, no, 5 grand. Oh, no.
$5,000.
$5,000 to a multimillionaire.
Ooh. Wow.
Perfect.
What a weekend! Somebody choked me with that dress!
Oh.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Oh, no.
Sweet $5,000.
Making it a total of $5,400, right?
You know, I've been eyeballing the sterling silver cigar tip snipper.
Those are nice.
Yeah, it's a little guillotine. Snips the cigar. It's really nice.
I hope you can take Sienna Miller out on the town and have a wonderful time together.
Yeah, I thought, you know, $4,700 is a lot to spend for a guitar tip snipper. But, you know, now I guess I can justify it.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, that is bad times because I've spun the wheel three times in defeat. I got $50, $50, and $500, which, of course, adds up to $600. But you have spun the wheel twice in defeat, and you have $6,000. You
what
owe me.
Gives?
So I got to spin the wheel. Wow. The funny thing, too, is when we were spinning it, you thought $2,000 was the maximum you could lose. This is good stuff.
Will you have an ethical quandary about taking his money?
No. I gave $10,000 to Big Tad, so I'm looking to recoup some of my gondola. Also, well, we'll figure it out. Now, Shaq, you're a pretty good prognosticator, so you have $6,000, or I should say $5,400, to whittle away at over the upcoming weeks.
It's not over.
It's all over. Three weeks ago, I was up on the top of the mountain.
But you're excellent at picking. I think you'll come back.
All right. Well, this brings us on to a topic, which is bets. Worst bets, best bets. Bets you've won, bets you've lost. I've lost some pretty good ones. Lost a few good ones to Kimmel over the years. But stuff where you've either lost some bucks or had to shave your head or had to run around the pool naked in front of everybody. Ooh, this reminds me of a good one. We used to play backgammon over at my buddy the Weeze's house in the dead of winter. Pool, just frosty freezing, 33-degree pool, and you'd play backgammon, and the loser had to just go jump in the pool. Shoes, jeans, jacket, everything. Just go jump in, right as you are. It's not only great, but it's a great spectator sport.
Why don't you go do that right now, creep?
866-901-ADAM. Give us a call. Tell us the bets you've won, the bets you've lost, the stakes. We'll talk about that. Also, Arianna Huffington is going to be on the show. Kobayashi, Prisoner David, and the Tesla, the guy who, I don't know if you've seen this car. I've been to the guy's website. I also saw it on the cover of, I think, the Rob Report. Something us rich guys read, Shaq. I'll explain to you when you're paying me off. It is an electric sports car, 0 to 60, like a Ferrari. Looks bitchin'. We'll talk to him about the future of that as well. All coming up. But first, your lost bets after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM and tell us about the worst bet you ever lost or the best bet you ever won. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. I'm looking at the screen here, guys. I had to drink tobacco spit and eat what's in an ashtray and stuff. This is guy stuff. Girl stuff about the worst you're going to do is you go up to Mark Jenkins and tell him you think he's cute. That kind of stuff. Guys are like, I'm going to make into this funnel. And then that's what guys do. Guys like to torture each other. Sometimes we get bored and it's just flip cards and punch the other guy in the arm. just straight away.
Well, Teresa took this job because she lost a bet with Tracy Metro, right? Well, actually, Corolla, you win in 50. Wow. Now having $5,400 on my loot. That can't be too bad for you. Creep.
Ah, here's a good one. So, yes, gambling, winning, losing. Gambling is an addiction. Man is an addiction. Now, I don't gamble because I know I'm not lucky. Well, maybe my luck has changed as of Dave Damashek's last spin. But normally, I don't look at myself as lucky, and people think of that as being pessimistic. I don't look at it as being pessimistic. I'm realistic, which is if I had to base my life on coin tosses or lottery tickets or hands drawn or wheels spun, it would not work out too good for me. And I like that message sent to society. Don't worry about lucky. Assume you got this deck. Assume you have the deck stacked against you. You got to go out there and work extra hard and make your own way. I don't want any students thinking they're lucky. I don't want athletes thinking they're lucky. I want them to have to overcome. That's what it's about. And that's why I say the lottery's a horrible message to send to its society, which is, well, maybe you'll luck out and have a decent life. Probably not, but who knows? Otherwise, you go back to your hellish jobs and wait to die.
And the money goes to schools from the lottery, which is weird.
Yes, ironically, the worst message you can send to a young person, which is, you'll never get anywhere unless you luck out. The luck out message, the who you know message, right place, right time message, a dangerous and horrible message to send to society's youth. It really is. You should be taught you make your own luck. You bust your ass, you make your own luck. And all those people that are your bosses or that you see on TV or that are doing what you want to do and they're currently doing it right now, they got there because they showed up early and often and busted their ass and oftentimes worked for years for no pay or paid out of their own pocket for the opportunity to work for somebody else. That's the message that needs to be sent. Instead, it's, he's lucky. It's who you know. His dad probably runs a company. Okay.
Well, Adam Creepola, have you? What's the worst bet you've won? What lost? Now that you've won $5,000.
Trying to think, I bet Kimmel a substantial amount of money once. That I don't know why I've been thinking about this. At Yeager, the catcher for the Dodgers, many years.
Steve Yeager,
well-built man, catcher for the Dodgers. Had a season where he hit 20 or more home runs. He did not.
Sure, yeah, I would have said under.
I looked at him at the time. Well, also, things were different. If you hit 30 home runs, you were a home run hitter in the league back in the 70s. That was a pretty damn good year for you. So I think I adjusted it to today's. Because now, if your best year is 18 home runs, that's not much of a season in the home run department. But he's a big, forearmed guy who was part of some winning Dodger teams. And he had some pop. He wasn't, you know, he didn't hit for average normally. I thought he had one or two seasons where he had. I think he hit 18, maybe 17 or 18 was like his best year. I owed Kimmel, I think it was $1,000 or $2,000. He promptly went out and bought $2,000 worth of golf clubs.
So that's a fraction of what Dave Damashek now owes you.
Yeah, but it's still smarted. I've had plenty of stuff where I've taken a beating or had to eat something. We used to play something called Spoons.
Ooh.
You guys ever play Spoons?
Mm-hmm. No.
Again, this is before satellite and Xbox, where you just have to sit around. I just sit over at my buddy John Tyler's house, flipping cards. When you lost, you'd have to take a spoonful of whatever the guy could muster. In his, you know, so it'd be a spoonful of, like, cayenne pepper and a snot rocket or whatever it was, and you just had to take it.
Ugh.
Can you imagine?
That's shocking based on the stories you've told about you and your friends.
Cold
I can't believe
spoons.
That.
Well, let's talk to Chris. Chris?
Hey, how's it going?
What'd you have to do, buddy boy?
Well, two things. One, first, Damashek, you're an idiot. I usually like you, but you forgot about the Oakland A's in the sports.
I know it.
Going strong in the playoffs.
I'm having a horrible weekend. I know. I apologize.
Yeah, so don't start rooting for the A's because I need them to keep going. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Second, for the bet, I was up in Tahoe for a bachelor party and just getting killed on the tables.
Mm-hmm.
And got to the point where we started betting stupid stuff. I lost a hand of blackjack, and I had to drink about 2 ounces of my buddy's tobacco chew spit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was brilliant.
Did you puke?
No, I didn't, actually. I took it like a champ.
Oof.
Somehow I held it down.
That's good. It hurts my gullet.
I know. My
esophagus
stinks.
I don't even know if I have one of those. I knew I was unlucky, as I'd mentioned before, when I was checking into a hotel a few years back. I think we were doing Crank Yankers in Vegas, and my buddy who has a gambling problem, Daniel Kellison. He has a problem. He has a gambling addiction, and he has an F with you addiction. I was trying to check into the hotel, and he was like, "Hey, buddy, let's play Hand of 21. I'm checking in. Oh, come on, buddy. Give me $100. I'll play for you. Can I check in first? No, buddy. Come on. Give me the money. I'll do it for you. I'm going to play Hand." He didn't need the money. He just wanted me. He's one of these guys that, and there are a lot of guys out there, women don't have this gene. Guys have this gene. When they find out you don't want to do something, then they just make it their life's work. I'm not sure what's in it for them. I'm not sure what kind of strategy that is for human beings. There are a lot of guys that are out there that treat life like a pit bull treats a rope chew toy, which is you just grab onto one end, the pit bull grabs on the other, it'll pull this way. Then you turn around, it'll pull the opposite direction, and it doesn't matter. You could pull up, it'll pull down. You pull down, it'll pull up. That's how it works. There's a lot of people that work that way. The second he found out I didn't want to gamble, it became the most important thing in the world to him that I give him money to gamble. And it was going to be to get my money to gamble. He has plenty of money of his own, but he just found out I didn't want to do it. Come on, buddy. I said, look, here's $100. Let me check in. Here's $100. Go play one hand, and that's it. Win or lose, you bring it back. Either bring back $200, you bring back zero. But go. He goes. He gets blackjack with my $100. He gets a blackjack, but guess what? So does the dealer. The dealer gets a blackjack as well. So, of course, well, let it ride. One more hand, and he loses. So I gave him $100, and I said, you can only play one hand. And that one hand was blackjack, and he came home with zero. That's when I realized maybe the gambling isn't such a great idea for the ace man. Lydia?
Uh-huh.
What's
hold on.
Okay.
Hi.
What's happening,
Hi,
Lydia? Adam. That's all right. What's going on?
I was at summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting around a bunch of counselors, and some girls dared me to shave my head.
Mm-hmm. And you were how old?
16.
Did you have long hair?
I had pretty long hair.
And there was no bet involved? It was just a dare?
Well, it was some guys involved, too, and I like to hold my pride really high. And I, at 16, I was stupid, and I thought, oh, it wouldn't be a problem. I wouldn't care. I can do anything. I cried for 2 days.
A dare is a bet without the potential winnings. I mean, it's like you going to a blackjack table and them daring you to bet $100 on a game of blackjack. But if you win, you don't win anything. Just the pride of knowing you won. But if you lose, you're at $100.
It was horrible. And I was a girls' counselor, and all my campers were scared of me.
Mm. I would be, too.
Sinead O'Connor.
Frightened campers.
I know.
All right. All right, baby doll. Your cell phone ringing in the background reminds me of a quick digression, which was getting back to everyone's horrible bets here, 866-901-ADAM. I called my assistant, Lindsay, over the weekend. I called her cell phone because I had a little business to take care of, a little emergency business over the weekend. Her cell phone rings, and this is who picks up. Hello? So there's that part where your mind is racing because it's really weird. You're thinking, with the cell phone, you're thinking, did I hit last dialed? Cell phone will do its own thing one out of every 100 calls. One out of every 100 calls, my cell phone will do its own thing. I think I'm dialing a new number. It's dialing the previous number or the last call that came in or whatever it is. But I get that stoner guy in his 20s. Hello? Lindsay? You always have to do that one because my brain does that thing. If anyone has a computer, especially I think the Mac computer, there's a little rainbow wheel that just turns when the computer's thinking. It's telling you, hold on a second, I need to recalibrate it. I have that rainbow wheel inside of my head that just spins. That's what happens when I call Lindsay and the slacker 23-year-old answers the phone. Hello? The wheel spins and then it stops and I say the female's name, who it definitely is. Lindsay? No. Is Lindsay there? No, she's not. Is it? She lost her cell phone. You know the people that like to withhold information? The people that look at their information, they play very close to the vest. You know, they like to dangle. You can tell they play stupid, but I think they enjoy you dangling out there a little bit. No, she lost her cell phone. I just found it. Oh. Are you your friend of hers? No, he just found it.
That's weird.
She just went to a club or something, lost a cell phone. He just found it, but he's answering the phone. Not saying Lindsay's cell phone, just answering the phone.
Was he trying to return it to her?
He'd already made arrangements to return it to her. Why he's answering the cell phone in the interim? She's going to be at his house in 15 minutes to pick up the phone, but he figures he's going to pick it up in the interim. So he's just picking it up. And again, he does the thing that I scream at people. I got into a huge fight with my friend's mom because her mom was house-sitting for my buddy. And she picked up the phone when I called, or she was babysitting or something. And it's like, hello? Donnie? No! And now they don't, they must, at that point, don't you know the person's confused because you're at their house or you're picking their cell phone up? You don't want to give, if I go to someone's house, I don't pick up my phone. All right, but if I did pick up your phone, it'd just be like, Dave Damashek's house. You know, this is how you pick. But no, it's not Lindsay's cell phone. It's just the guy going, hello. Meha? Leaving me dangling. And then eventually he says that she's coming to pick it up. And there was this funny exchange where he said somebody's picking it up. And I thought he meant the cell phone. And he was talking about picking up the cell phone. So I never did get to the bottom of it. We can talk to Lindsay when we talk to him. But
for all you know, she was bound and gagged and he was sitting on her back as he was saying that.
Creepy.
He was a cagey criminal.
I want to know if that guy recognized your voice. What a weird experience for him.
He didn't seem like an enthusiastic fan, if that's what you're talking about. John?
Yeah.
What happened? You lost a bet?
Actually, I won a bet. I was about 17 years old and in this volunteer ambulance, and we sat around and played a lot of backgammon. This was before computers, and we smoked a lot. And I was up $250 to this crazy kid, Kenny Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Said, hey, dude, I don't have the money. There's no way I can pay this. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do? And he's like, all right, I'll eat the contents of this ashtray. And it was a pretty big ashtray. It was full. It wasn't just us smoking. There were other people around. I think there was a bum in there, too. And he ate the whole ashtray, and I made him lick it clean, too. I was pretty...
Yeah.
And then, like, 20 minutes later, he just puked it all up outside.
My buddy, Ray, ate a golf ball, maybe tennis ball size of wasabi at a restaurant once. That was nice. And I mean, it doesn't sound too bad, but really picture a thing of that green wasabi, at least the size of a golf ball solid, and just shotgun
the
whole
Steve
thing.
Steve-O did that in the first Jackass movie. Did Ray puke?
No.
Steve-O immediately puked.
Really?
No. Yeah. No. Here's, he snorted it.
Oh, that's right.
Robert?
Yeah.
What was your bet?
Well, I was 30, and she was 19, with long blonde hair all the way down to her bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Was she a co-ed at a small Midwestern university? Go ahead.
Penthouse Forum.
Also, big pillowy lips and doe eyes.
Doughy eyes, yeah. What kind of brass?
What's that?
What? How were the boobies?
She had two kids by that time, actually. So they were a little beaten up.
I understand.
I was expecting the record scratch, Brian.
Yeah, there we go. 19, two kids.
Yeah, but all right. Still just unbelievably beautiful. New girlfriend of mine, I was dating her. I was her supervisor. I shouldn't have been doing that either. But we were sitting around a poker table gambling, and the topic of sex came up.
Mm-hmm.
And she revealed that she had never had it anally.
Mm-hmm.
So we were around a poker table, so I said, let's put that up on the table.
What?
She made the bet, and she lost.
Mm-hmm.
I took her from the table, from her friends. We went to the bathroom in the back, and there we got ready.
Wow. Now, who was at the table besides you?
It was all of her friends. There was about 10 of us there.
Wow. And all her friends, and male friends as well?
Yes.
Okay.
They all watched me leave with her after she lost her bet.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the back.
Now, what were you playing? Playing poker?
Just poker, yeah.
Do you remember the hand?
Old maid.
Poker in the rear? Liquor in the front? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the reason it's the worst bet I ever won was because when she was ready and I was ready, I looked at her in the mirror and she was crying her eyes out.
She was about to get a royal flush.
She used you used those tears as lubricant.
That's horrible. Did you take her up on the bed even though she was crying?
Well, that was definitely one of those moments where you had the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other.
Mm-hmm.
The anal.
Well,
devil or anal. Yes.
That day, the devil collected his bet.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Not the ruin or pay.
Hindsight being 2020, you would have taken the kids out of the bathroom, though, right? If you had to do it again. Yeah. And then she hobbled back to the table and sat on a pillow, or how did that work? I want to know how you guys reintegrated yourselves into the game.
Well, there was a moment there because we did come back, and she was still all tearied up and sniffling and wiping her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the proudest moments of my life.
Sure.
But to this day, now that I guess it's 8 years later, I still think about that moment, whether I would do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And beats the bejesus out of himself all right. Over again.
You know, what's funny is when he got back at the table, he's like, all right, now, how many ladies have ever performed oral on a guy while he was playing poker? Huh? Nobody? All of you. Interesting. You're doing it now. Okay.
She was crying.
It was, interesting because that young lady, she definitely was all in.
All right, Robert. What do you do now? Do you sell something for a living? You sound like a salesman.
Well, I'm actually going to be crossing the Hoover Dam in a minute. I live in Las Vegas, and I work in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a supervisor of cocktail waitresses at one of the casinos out here.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a great job, and I gave it all up to come help the family build a communications business.
Mm.
We're
all
doing
right.
Cable TV, internet, things like that.
Well, with your sodomy skills, I feel like this can't fail. You know, I mean, that's one of these things that applies to all facets of business.
What must her friends have been?
He's definitely what you call a closer.
Yes, but could you possibly collect on that bet when a girl's looking at you and crying?
If it's via the mirror, if it's eye to eye, it's going to be tough.
It's horrible.
Ye gad.
Yeah, I look at tears like I look at the yellow light, which is not slow down. It means hurry up.
Get it over with.
Let's get through this. Yeah, some people see the yellow light and they're prepared to stop. I see the yellow light and I hit it. That's the same thing I do with tears in the bedroom. I see tears. It means, all right, let's get this. Let's go now. And to really focus. Wow. Well, where do we go from here? Guy, I don't think you can do better than this.
Why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Guy put Icy Hot on a sack. This guy drank some jalapeno juice for $24, not $25. It goes on and on. I like this topic. We should bring it up from time to time, possibly on Mondays. All right. We will take a break. When we come back, are we going to talk to the president of the Tesla Motor Car Company? Let's see if I have it here. Yes. That's what we'll do. He has an electric car. If you go to Tesla, I guess it's teslamotorcars.com or something like that, TESLA, you'll see pictures of this baby. Candy apple red, target top, two-seater, 0-60 in 4 seconds, which is pretty much supercar speed. That's Porsche Ferrari speed. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk to him after this.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Lompoc, California. Santa Barbara County Sheriff's deputies found a 69-year-old Huntington Beach man naked and covered in oats. Deputies say the man doused himself in olive oil, rolled around in oats, and allowed horses to lick him clean. He was released after being cited for trespassing, animal cruelty, and sexually assaulting an animal. Definitely not a Jew!
Yeah. That was a layup. All right. We need to push forward. Arianna Huffington's going to be on the show in a couple of few. Author, political pundit, fiery, beautiful redhead. Used to do politically incorrect with her quite often. But first, a man after my own heart, Martin Eberhard. Martin?
Yes.
Good to speak to you.
Thank you.
Where you're from, TeslaMotors.com. Where are you guys based out of?
We're in San Carlos, California.
Hey. Mm-hmm. That's where you're from, Brian?
It's my very small hometown in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm. And I saw your Roadster. Looks like, I think it's on the cover of the Robb Report, is it not?
Yes, it is.
And 0 to 60 in 4 seconds.
Yep, we've broken 4 seconds already now.
You have?
Yep.
Very quick. Must be a light car.
Pretty light, 2,500 pounds.
Well, not that light. I guess
lighter than pretty much anything else on the road.
Yes.
Lighter than a Honda Civic.
No, that's true. It's light as cars go, but I would have assumed that part of the reason it was so quick was its weight, which is part of it, but I thought it would have been even lighter than that. Mm-hmm. So a couple of questions. And by the way, like I said, breaking 4 seconds is the demarcation for supercar these days in the modern era is probably about 4 seconds. Anything under 4 seconds or even 4.2 or 4.3 or 4 is technically a supercar if you were, not technically, but it's going to be $100,000 plus automobile usually, and usually come from some part of Europe. Ferrari 430s under that, turbo Porsche, there's a handful of cars. And so this is amongst the quickest cars in the world, right?
That's right. Yeah, except it doesn't burn any gas like all those other cars.
Yes. And how do you, now, is the car DOT legal with the bumpers and the airbags and all that stuff?
By the time we actually ship cars next year, yes. It's designed to be, and we're in the middle of the fun crash testing right now.
Mm-hmm. And is it very rigorous? Because what some people may not realize is there's the Department of Transportation, and that gets in the way, I think, of a lot of people in their dreams in terms of making their own car.
I suppose. I mean, it gets in the way, but it also forces people like me to make a safe car.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, so we're smashing probably a dozen cars, and some of them get hit several times.
Does the car, what is some of the DOT things? You need a 5-mile-an-hour bumper.
So the bumpers actually are not a safety issue. Those are insurance requirements.
I see.
But it's mainly that on a head-on collision, on a side collision, on a rear collision, and so on, the G-forces on the passenger and the driver are low enough that they have a high chance of survival.
Mm-hmm.
It also means airbags. It also means rollover protection and so on.
So your car, the Tesla Roadster, it'll do 250 miles per charge?
Yep.
What's the fastest you can charge it?
Fastest you can charge it is empty to full in about 3 hours. But think about it like charging your cell phone. You know, you come home at night and you plug it in. In the morning, every morning, you got a full tank.
And you just plug it into 110?
Well, 110 will take a lot longer to charge.
So 220?
220. In your garage, there'll be a charging station that allows it to charge quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You can plug into other 220 jacks, but they won't be quite as quick.
So what you would do if you bought this automobile is you would have a charging station in your garage?
Yeah, we'd install that.
I see. And that'll charge it overnight, although it could be charged for 3 hours. You just plug it in.
And, of course, if you only drove 100 miles, then it's only like an hour and something to charge.
Right. Now, that is under just sort of regular driving conditions. You get 250 miles. And it's equivalent, it says here, to 135 miles per gallon. I'm guessing that is the energy it takes to make the electricity.
Yeah, there's, of course, a lot of fuzziness around those numbers, but that's using the EPA's conversion numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little bit of sandbagging just to give ourselves some margin.
So price-wise, how does this work out for you?
Model year 2007 cars are being sold as fully optioned cars, and that's $100,000 fully loaded.
But I imagine with the price of gas that this thing would pay for it. So, well, first off, they're cars. They're sports cars. As a matter of fact, the ones that go 0 to 60 in 4 seconds, those are all $100,000 anyway.
Uh-huh, that's right.
And as far as the top speed goes, well, it's really the 0 to 60 part. This thing does over 130 miles an hour.
Yeah, I think the top's going to be somewhere around 135. We haven't got up to full speed yet.
But for me, who's a car enthusiast, it's all about how you get to the 100 miles an hour. It's not about going 170 miles an hour. Everyone always says, what do you need a car that goes 180 miles an hour for? When are you going to go 180? It's not that. It's the freeway on-ramp where you're pinned to the back of the seat getting up to highway speed.
Oh,
that's right. And that 0 to 30 even just at the red light is mighty nice.
Yeah, people don't realize that the electric motors produce a lot more torque than the internal combustion engines do, and thus it sort of lends itself to this kind of driving. So what do you think? How's the man been to you? Has he been trying to hold you down? Has he been trying to squash your dreams?
No, been ignoring us mostly. I mean, you know, the requirements we have to meet are pretty heavy duty, but, you know, as long as you have enough money to do that, you can do it.
Where do you see, I think most people who just sort of casually cover these things or just sort of watch the news with one eye would assume that we would have had electric cars all over the place 20 years ago. Why is it taking so long in your estimation?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons, but one of them is that 20 years ago, the batteries were just no good.
Mm-hmm.
The batteries today are a lot better. And the kind of batteries we're using, it's a crazy thing we're doing. I mean, it's a lot of very small batteries using a different chemistry than batteries have been electric cars in the past.
Is it like a metal hydride or something?
It's lithium ion.
Oh,
yeah,
well, that's refreshing. Send them my regards. So the battery technology has moved forward. But GM, we had the guy who did the electric car.
Who killed
the electric car. They had that Evo 1 that worked pretty well that's coming on 6-7 years, maybe more, old. And they got rid of that. What do you think about that?
Well, they made those cars mostly because they were forced to by the zero emissions mandate here in California.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that... it wasn't their own interest to make a car like that. They're busy making a lot of money selling big SUVs and gasoline-powered cars, and I just don't think that they saw it as a good idea to be marketing a car that suggested that those highly profitable cars weren't the best idea.
How devastating. I mean, I just assumed that between the big auto manufacturers and big oil that they've been trying to keep the electric car down for many a year. How devastating would it be to GM or Ford if they did not, you know, if we switched to electric cars over the next 10 years?
Well, my guess is somewhere along the way they'd figure out that they need to be part of that and they'd start making them themselves.
Right. And what do you think could entice them to do that?
Well, a little competition. How about that?
And that's you, right?
Maybe.
So what is... cocky, brash young
kid.
Well, look, if you had a golf cart that did 0 to 60 in under 4 seconds, you'd be cocky, too.
Yeah, a golf cart with carbon fiber body, extruded aluminum chassis, handling like no other car.
Yeah. Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Still doesn't get you laid, though, does it, Martin? Martin, I'm guessing you're an engineering nerd?
Oh, yes.
And what is your background?
I'm an electrical engineer. I don't know. I've worked at a bunch of startup companies around Silicon Valley and decided I'd do something that's a little bit more fun this time.
You're that nerd.
And you take this car and do you farm out a lot of the body panels and parts of frame and that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, all over the world. Yeah, we build our own motors. Mm-hmm. We have an assembly that puts our battery packs together. We farm out the fabrication of the carbon fiber body. We farm out the final assembly of the car and so on. So there's a lot of bits and pieces. I think that's true for most cars now.
Martin Eberhard is on the phone. He's from TeslaMotors.com. They have an electric roadster for those of you who just tuned in. 0 to 60, under 4 seconds now. Which is supercar speed, 250 miles per charge. Drive into your garage, plug it in, never go to the gas station again. And if you think about the gas station, not only is it the gas station, but you always spill a little on your hands or on your trousers. You get the stink eye from the scary foreigner who's behind the Lexan, always looking over your shoulder, waiting to get rolled. It's a horrible experience, and I would love to do away with it myself. And I feel like hopefully our kids will be looking at the gas station sort of like we looked at the porn theater, where you go, you mean you and a whole bunch of other dudes just went to one place to watch a porno movie? Were you insane? I imagine it'll be the same thing. So how many of these roadsters have you produced and how many have you sold?
We've only produced prototypes right now. We begin production for customers about 9 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
We've pre-sold something like 170 of them already.
Oh. And you're so obvious. 170, so you'll take orders for them.
Yep, that's right.
How much does one have to put down?
$100,000. Actually, now you can put down $75,000 and put the last bit down when you take the car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you need 90% down.
75% down.
Wow. Well, you know what you got, don't you? And 170, that's worldwide.
But we're only selling in the U.S. right now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay. And any celebrities buy one of these?
Quite. Quite a few. I don't have permission to name names yet, but we have a long list of celebrities that bought cars.
I bet you could mention.
Are you going to add your name to this list,
Ace? Does it rhyme with Leonardo DiCaprio?
It might.
Or Ed Begley?
Yeah, it might. It might rhyme with Clooney, too.
Linda Lavin?
I saw, you know, the thing that's funny is I went out to eat sushi a few weeks back, and I saw just a little hole-in-the-wall place over in Studio City, and I saw Clooney eating sushi there. But before I walked into the sushi joint, I made note that there was a European mini car that was parked in front.
Which one, do you know?
I'm trying to think. It didn't have the name on it. It's one of the ones that's super narrow, and I think it's stacked seating.
Oh, that might not be a European car. That might be what's called a Tango, made in Seattle. Electric car also.
Maybe I consider myself a nerd.
Yeah, I thought it was one of those European micro cars, but you're actually right. It could be made out here. And you sit, the guy or the person sits behind you. You sit sort of stacked instead of side to side.
Yeah, that's a commuter car. It's Tango.
So I spotted that car, and it was one of these things where I walked into the sushi place, and I was thinking, whose car is this? Something's up with this car. Why is it parked here? And then I sat down to eat, and I heard his voice. He was sitting behind a screen, but I couldn't see him for where I was, and no one in the restaurant could see him, but I could hear him talking loudly to a young chick he was eating California rolls with, and I figured out it was him, and then I did the car math, so now he's into the electric cars.
Yep.
Okay.
That skinny thing is also electric.
I see, yeah, but that's a wussmobile. Yours is a pee machine, as we like to call it in the business. That is nice. All right, so now you're making money off of this?
That's the plan, yes.
Are you able to? Sometimes at the beginning, you know, you got to eat it a little bit.
Oh, we're eating it big time right now, yes.
So you have investors, I assume.
Oh, yes, we raised something like $60 million to put this together. It took a lot of money.
Well, God bless you. I don't understand why more people aren't doing it. It seems to be nowadays with the CAD computer design programs and stuff, almost, I don't want to make it sound easy, but people can do it. You don't have to be one of the big three. And I think people have been waiting for a car like the Tesla to make electric cars exciting.
I think that's right.
And at the risk of being too grandiose, even patriotic.
I think so, yes.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be nice not to be dependent on all that oil from the Middle East, huh?
Yes.
It would be nice. Well, thank you, Martin Eberhardt. We'll be talking soon. You'll be hearing from my accountant when Dave pays me $5,400.
I was just going to ask you, would you plop down 75 grand for one of these? They're nice looking.
Well, I think it's 100 in
75 to put it down, payment.
Get you started. Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, I would need to kick the tires, as it were. I would need to test drive the thing. I'd need to see it. Again, we've said that under 4 seconds, 0 to 60 is $100,000 range, even more than $100,000 range with a lot of cars. But I'd like to get up on it, because the thing is in order to be that fast with electric car, you have to save weight. And when cars get light, they look a little tinny sometimes. And I just like to sit in the thing and make sure it was cool. But yeah, I would give it some thought. It would be freaky not having any sound.
I know.
I tend, though, I think my problem is I would drive it like a go-kart. Because it would be a toy in a certain sense. And I wouldn't think, there's something about driving an automobile with the exhaust pouring out the back and the gasoline in it and stuff that makes you, I don't know if you're acclimated to it, or I don't know what the mindset is, but I would drive this thing. You know, I'll give you an example. You ever drive a golf cart?
No.
Never driven a golf cart?
Mm-mm.
Dave, you have. Yes. You get in a golf cart, you just haul. Your foot just stomps on it, and you just start having fun.
Because it's like light.
It's electric, or it's something. It falls under the heading of toy, not vehicle.
Right.
And you just stomp on
it
immediately.
Like an adult toy.
And I would see myself getting an electric car. Plus, you don't care about gas mileage. Just stomp on it. You're going to hook the thing back up to your charger. But I'll tell you what I would do. I would still take the horrible foreigner with the Lexan and put him in my garage. Just because I'm keeping it real.
Right.
And every night I would have to buy a Snickers bar off him before I went into the house. So I would pull my Tesla car into the garage, and then I'd be like,
you would talk to him through the little hole.
Yeah, and I'd be like, no, not through the hole, through the cash register.
Yeah.
Through
right.
The sliding drawer. Hello, can I get a Snickers? No, cannot. No. And then I would guide him. I would have him just turn his back. I wouldn't bother putting the candy bars there. I would just have him turn his back. And then I would yell at him through the thing. No. And then he'd hold ones up. He'd hold make-believe ones up, and I'd just have to make them up. That's Milky Way. No, Snickers. Okay. All right. Okay. I like when you cut your losses.
I'll take the Milky Way. It's fine.
Yeah. No. Ultralights, not the menthols. My ultra. Okay. Give me the menthols. Give me the Milky Way and the menthols. Just cutting the bait. You just cut bait at a certain point. The best is milk too. Once in a while, you go milk through there. Skip. No. Two percent. Bring the buttermilk. It's fine.
No vendor in the world more put out by you trying to buy stuff from them than those guys.
They are angry. Yes, you came up with a plan where you lock the door to your business and people have to talk to you through a sliding drawer, and then you're upset when people make you go. Then now it's like you're being run around. Well, you're being run around because you locked your door. You understand? I have to talk to you through a drawer. I would like to come up with a candy bar called Stupid Foreign Gas Station Guy. It'd be bright red. It'd just be called Pick Me, the Pick Me Bar, and it'd be the one the guys went for all the time, and it wouldn't be the one that anyone wanted. It'd be the one everyone settled on. The Abba Zabba, I'll take the Abba. Okay. All right. Give me the Pick Me. I'll take the Pick Me. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. What are we doing? Let's see. Ooh. How about a little reenactment? It's been a while.
Yeah.
We started one a couple weeks ago, and then I got angry in the middle of it because we kept getting dumped out, and then I went a little different direction. So we'll do that. We'll do one of our famous reenactments. Dave and I will do for you. Also, Arianna Huffington coming up. Kobayashi as well, the great hot dog eating champ and our prisoner. Calling in from the California State Penitentiary. All that still coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have our prisoner calling in, coming up also. Kobayashi, Arianna Huffington coming in as well. But first, a reenactment. T?
Yes. A few weeks ago, there was a story in the news about a 42-year-old man. He was driving, and he decided to use his penis pump while he was driving to pleasure himself. Now, this was so distracting that he blew a stop sign and the car smashed into a full bus of people. Now, no one was hurt. That's the good news. But the bad news, the police found him unconscious, pants around his ankles, the penis pump still firmly on his penis.
I never have blown a stop sign. I blew a yield sign once in college. I was pretty effed up.
Sure, it doesn't
time
mean...
for experiment.
Not proud of it. Yeah, I mean, it was a different time back then.
He blew the stop sign, hit a bus, and then the cops had to take him to the hospital with some head injuries.
I've heard about car advertising saying you'll save at the pump with this model, but I had no idea. I assume they're talking about gasoline. All right, yes. So he had a penis pump attached to him, and he hit a bus.
Yes, and so when they went to extract him from his vehicle with a head injury, he still had the pump attached to his penis.
Before we get into this, I once went to a porn store, and I mean a barn-sized porn store. It's over on Western. Before sunset, it is just one of these pornatorium sort of things. And it's got sort of, the outside of it is just like, you know, clown makeup, just a lot of day glow orange and everything like that. And so it's right on Western. And it's one of these things where there's about 4 foot of sidewalk and then the front of this porn barn. I went in there after work when I was swinging a hammer, thought I'd pick up a movie for myself, get some viewing in before the old lady came home from work at the time. You know, when you're living in a single apartment, this is a no-bedroom apartment. You gotta find the moments, you know. And I got myself a nice porn, and I was walking out of the porn barn that has, like, I mean, it's really, it's almost like a circus. Like the door is painted around some big lips, you know, and you leave. It's like you walk out a tongue, you know, welcome mat. And there was a school bus that was stopped, probably 3 cars back on the right. The bus was going to make a right onto Sunset, but it was stopped directly in front of it. It was a full-size school bus, the exact same length as the porn store. pressed up against the curb, which is only about 5 feet from the door. And of course, every kid in the bus, when you stop in front of a porn store, you all have to pile over to that side of the bus and see what's cooking with the big clown makeup and everything. I walked right into about a set of 80 eyeballs, just all staring at the who's the old sick guy. This is what this, you know, you don't study. This is what will happen to you, my friend. You'll be covered with sawdust. You'll be wearing Vans with a hole in them, and you'll be buying porn at 2:30 in the afternoon. Very sad.
The more you know.
Thank you. All right. Sorry for that digression. Now, again, penis pump, side of the bus, and they found him there. That's yes. where the paramedics found him.
So I'll be the guy who was pumping his wang,
mm-hmm.
and you will be the wife.
Okay. I'm at home. You're calling from where? The hospital?
The hospital. I had head injuries.
Nice. Hopefully you forgot what happened. Well, here we go. It's busy. Should have got a call waiting. Now, I like to let it ring a few times so people don't think I'm desperate. Hello?
Tawny.
Gerald?
That's right.
Weren't you home for dinner? Where have you been? I've been worried sick about you.
I've got some good news and I've got some bad news.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually calling you from the hospital. I got into a little accident.
Were you talking on the cell phone again when you were driving? How many times?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't on the cell phone. You've yelled at me about that
before.
Well,
I've told you, 10 and 2, focus. You know, I used to teach traffic school.
I know that. Believe me.
So what were you doing?
The only thing you've yelled at me more about is my talking on the cell phone while I'm driving is my small wang. It's the only thing.
So what were you doing? Shaving?
No, I was not shaving.
This was road rage. Somebody cut you off and you rammed them?
No.
So just what? Just drifted off highway hypnosis?
Nope.
Messing with the wipers?
Uh-uh.
Adjusting the radio?
Getting colder.
Adjusting the seat? You're doing something with the seat?
Uh-uh.
Hit a fog bank?
Nope.
Defroster wasn't working on the vehicle?
Not close.
You were adjusting a mirror. You're looking in the rearview mirror. You were checking your hair in the mirror, weren't you?
I was using a penis pump to make my wang bigger.
That was going to be my next guess. Why'd you have to cut me off? I was going to say you were looking at your penis in the pump through the rear view. My goodness.
Yeah, I was trying. Listen, you're the one who always is talking about. You could have a bigger wang.
I should have never got you that cigarette adapter.
Always comparing me to that NBA player you slept with.
Lucius.
I told you never say his name to me again.
All right, so let me get this straight. You were pulled over
right.
in the garage with the penis pump on when some maniac T-boned you.
No. I was out on the open road.
You were on the side of the road, on the side of the open road.
I'm a busy man. I was multitasking. I was
You're
driving.
On the laptop and the... You...
I was driving. I was actually...
You were operating a motor vehicle with a penis pump on?
Why my hand, my free hand was operating the car and the other one working the penis pump, yes.
And so what? You hit a tree, you hit the side of a barn, you hit a fire hydrant.
No.
Lamppost.
Uh-uh.
Parked car.
Nope.
Embankment.
Bus.
There was a parked, empty bus that you hit.
Bus full of people.
There was a bus full of the blind being transported to the Braille Institute.
About 55 people, 110 eyes, all looking at my engorged wang.
It was a bus of atheists being moved to a nudist camp.
Fully clothed. The good news is, I do have some good news. My wang was so inflated that it cushioned the blow. It could have been much worse, the doctor said.
I don't know where to begin. First off, let me take you off speakerphone. Mom, Dad, Reverend, Gym Coach, Foley. I'll explain to you guys later. The rest of this is going to have to be personal. Perhaps I shouldn't just put you on a speakerphone and not say anything, but I assumed you had some good news. I thought maybe you gotten a promotion at work, and then once we got in too deep, I couldn't hit the button.
Nope. I was driving. I was pumping. I was trying to fulfill your wishes of getting a bigger wang. I blew through a stop sign. It's not the only thing I blew. I can now take care of my own business.
You ran?
If you know what I mean.
So, you're in the hospital.
That's right.
And once they got your penis out of your orbital socket,
I say, there's some good news, some bad news, some good news, some bad news. Good news is, you know, minor head injuries thanks to the inflated wing. Bad news is, they took my pants, and you're going to need to run me some pants down. The good news, again, better news. Wang, gigantic. Mm-hmm. Worst news. I'm leaving you for the nurse. She loves my wang.
The herb. End scene.
Wait, one more scene. But before I leave you, you want to have a catch?
Well, thank you. End scene. I forgot that's how we ended all of it.
Nicely done.
That was nice.
It was dark. A lot, you know, I went into some pretty dark places there, and yeah. I wasn't comfortable living in that skin.
No, that stretched out skin. All righty. Well, I imagine, I'm trying to think of the number of guys that have died, you know, doing things to themselves. I imagine it's in the millions quite easily. If you think about it.
Inglorious deaths, you mean?
Well, there is the autoerotic asphyxiation death.
That would be embarrassing, I bet.
Yes.
Gotta be a little embarrassing. I said I went to a funeral of a guy who...
You did?
Young, good-looking guy, on the ball, everything else. I think Brian knew the guy. I mean, hey, look, you'd be laughing if you weren't crying. You know, this guy was not trying to kill himself, was probably 25, good looking, smart and sharp. Could have happened to any of us.
Was he trying to hang himself or something?
I didn't get into all the details, but the folks flew in from out of state and we attended it. And, you know, you have to sort of dance around things and it's kind of difficult. How do you couch? And he was taken from us far too early. Taken from us. Well, I'm getting the in excess angle here, but yeah, it's you have to really watch. You know, he loved life up until the end. He was a doer.
Everybody knows, though. It's not like the grandparents or anybody. The grandparents aren't left out of these gruesome details.
It's unclear what percentage of the room knew about it. I would say was into the 90 percentile. I figure if I knew, I'm sure the parents knew, and many people that were closer to the family than me knew. And then... there's that part where if my kid goes this way, I'm not telling people that. Not for them, not for me, not for, I should say, for them. Not for my son's memory, not for the humiliation, but for them. How are you supposed to handle that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what do you come back with? Well, I'm sure the Lord had a plan for him. Yeah, he needed guys to beat off in wherever a cloud he's on. There wasn't enough chronic masturbators. Like, what plan? I understand when the Lord takes a guy, you know, with some serious skills, like electronics engineer or something like that. But when a guy's skill is masturbating, what's he need him for? And if he did need him, don't take him now. That's the whole thing about the Lord. Look, Lord, if you need me, if you need a morning DJ or you need a guy who's good with his hands, well, by all means, take me. Let me finish masturbating, and then you can call. Let the Ace Man get his sweatpants on, then you call him up. Anyway, very, very uncomfortable. We need to take a break. I think, what's going on? Yes. All right. We're going to do a little Playboy Mansion Halloween party. That is coming up in, I guess, a couple of weeks. Have that to look forward to. You can come to the party with us, but as we're talking about with the bets, there's a price to pay. And we're going to explain to you how that's going to work right after this.
stick around because Adam's giving away a trip to Las Vegas to the Vegas Festival October 28th and 29th to see Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, The Killers, and more. Get your tickets at Vegas.com. Stick around. Back with more of The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. On October 26th, Adam's doing the show live from the Playboy Mansion for the first annual Blotto in the Grotto Halloween Party. Playboy bunnies and sexy Halloween costumes. You want to go? Of course you do. Keep listening and Adam will tell you how to get in. Here he is on The Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, I hate that goddamn song so much. Please. Is that Dead Man's Party?
I think so, yeah.
God damn, that song sucks. And it's the only Halloween song, really, so it gets played in every movie and everything. It's horrible. Oingo Boingo has some pretty good songs. That is not one of them, and it's horrible. Please, let's remove that song.
It's 42 degrees in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a miserable day all the way around.
Where are we? That's right. So we're going to the Playboy Mansion. You can go, too. You have to earn your way in. And here's the deal. The Playboy Mansion, Hef, not a young man anymore. Hef had a stroke about 5-8 years ago or something now. He's doing all right, but you're not going to be around forever. I mean, the over-under on Hef, sorry to be morbid here, but the over-under on Hef's about 5.5 years, right? He's had a stroke, he's 80, 81, whatever it is. I mean, he's not going on forever. This is not going to go on forever. The Playboy Mansion. Right. It's one of those things you should say you went to.
Right. Like seeing Michael Jordan in his last year of playing basketball.
Yes. I would have loved to have said I saw Elvis one time in Vegas before whatever. Siegfried and Roy now. Just to be at a party and go, yeah, been there. Been to Graceland. Yeah, been to the Playboy Mansion. You are not going to get a shot to go to the Playboy Mansion because you are a civilian. But wait a minute. We're going to give you an opportunity. Of course, you're going to have to earn it. Now, we're still working on some ideas how to get you in. I had an idea, something I wanted to do at the Man Show years ago, and we never got around to it, which is smoke a bong load of Tad's pubic hair.
Oh.
Pubes go up. Boy, they go up like dry brush. Why not fill a bong with Tad's pubic hair? You do a bong load of that, we're going to get you in. Now, you got to inhale. You got to inhale.
How long do you have to hold it in your lungs?
How about a nice 5 Mississippi?
Sounds fair.
So the prize is grand, the trip to the Playboy Mansion, but the price will be steep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're working on a few of these. Let Dave hit a golf ball off the crack of your ass with a pitching wedge.
And I'm not that good.
Some of these I think we have to check with the people like Ray. Change Ray's diaper. Oh. Buddy Ray craps himself.
Oh, he'll be fine with it.
Change his diaper.
He'll probably help.
I like this one. Adam takes a whiz in your gas tank.
Ah.
Strong. I don't know if I got enough schlong to get past that little flap thing that's at the top, though. We'll have to work that one out. Also, we're talking about hair plug unibrow.
Oh. You would have to have a unibrow installed in your face?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You just do that little half-inch patch at the bridge, top of the bridge of your nose there. You'll have a permanent unibrow, but you'll have memories. Whenever someone asks you about your unibrow, you'll remind them of the Playboy Mansion.
Sure.
One I just thought of before we came back from commercial break was shaving the left side of your body. I would like to see a guy with literally a hair stripe that went straight down his body. Hair, beard, pubes, armpit, forearms, leg, just the left side. And then we'll probably have to work something back where we checked back with you in a week. And as long as that you were still half a man when it came to the hair, you'd be in. So what would you do for these tickets? Now, we'll give you two of them. Doesn't matter where you are. I think we're going to fly some people out from some of the affiliate markets as well. So even if you're not in the L.A. area, you could still qualify. Someone's on the phone. Tom?
Yeah.
How say you, my friend?
I'm good. How say you, Adam?
Doing well. I'm sure Arianna Huffington, who I just saw walk in, I'm sure is delighted to hear about doing a bowl of Tad's pubes.
She's offered to harvest Tad's pubes.
Go ahead, Tom.
I will go ahead and take a 2.5-foot bong load of Tad's pubes to get into the Playboy Mansion.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I have some pretty decent-sized bongs, and you can pick one.
Well, it's all right. We'll just go out to Anderson's car or Dawson's car. Wrong guy. Wrong engineer. It's an old show. Go out to Dawson's car and just pull many of the ones. Actually, we don't have to go in the car. He has a bong rack.
Right.
A lot of guys have racks for their mountain bikes or their skis. He uses a bong rack. It's on top of the car. Trek makes it, I think, now for the stoner outdoorsman. So, Tom, you would be in for this. You'll do a bong load.
Oh, most uncertainly down.
Where are you calling from?
Right now I'm in Yorba Linda, but I live in Chino.
Oh, well, perfect. Right, I don't now. Even know where Chino is. Far away, but you'll make the trek to come in and smoke a bong load of Tad's pubes if it means going to the Playboy Mansion.
Oh, yeah.
That's October.
No, that's definitely a big price to pay for a huge payoff.
All right, well then, hang on for a second. That's October 26, by the way. 7 o'clock at night. Playmates there. Everyone in
I was just going to say, yeah, as if the Playmates aren't enough of a lure, there are different gaggles of women that are going to be coming out. Some girls from the station are coming out. Ah. Some of the Bruska, come up with the name.
There's Likeettes?
Foxes galore, but from different places. It's going to be an embarrassment of riches.
Mm. Yeah, and the thing about Halloween is hot chicks use it as an excuse to wear next to nothing.
It's always I'm a cat in a cat suit, or I'm a witch in a cat suit, or everything's in a leotard.
Either way, yeah, you're just in the unitard, or you got the body makeup on instead of the unitard, but. I'll tell you, there's a nasty side effect to this, which is the dude who's been working out all year who goes as the baby. He just wears the diaper but no shirt, and it's freezing cold outside. Listen, all you dudes. Nobody wants to see your razor-sharp nipples in 40-degree weather because you've been working out. We get it. We get it. Go as an old-time lifeguard and wear the striped, one-piece whatever that goes over your shoulders, but I don't want to be looking at back zits and hard nipples on a dude when I'm trying to enjoy a party. Just knock it off. We understand you work out, guys. Wear something, go with Spider-Man or something that shows off your physique. Do not do the baby in the diaper.
Yeah. But by the way, you're not going to have to deal with that much because there are, in fact, going to be more foxes than fellas at this thing. How about that?
Unusual for a party.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Vince?
Yeah?
You say that you'll do the half body shave?
Yes, sir, I would. I do. Yeah, I would definitely do that.
How old are you?
I am 21.
I like an older man because there's more hair on him. But how hairy are you?
I'm pretty hairy, actually, to be honest.
You dark haired?
Yeah, I'm like dark brown hair.
What's your nationality?
Caucasian.
Okay, but your heritage, because I don't need any Asians. I'm looking for a hairy breed
I'm
here.
Irish.
Hairy forearms?
Yeah, oh yeah, I got monkey arms.
Is your, how you doing in the pube department?
I got a forest.
All right.
That's funny.
What about the hair up top? Long, short, medium?
The hair on the top of my head? Right now, I just got a haircut actually yesterday. I do have a beard, though.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, you have a beard?
Oh. Yeah.
I have to hammer out some of these details, but part of the shave half your body would be I would need to check back with you in 3 or 4 working days.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm going to need you to go to work with half a beard and half a hair. I may even flip-flop the head. I may go right beard, left hair.
Ooh, that's fine. Symmetrical.
Little crisscross action on that. And eyebrows, how are you doing in the brow department?
I don't have a unibrow.
Well, I'm sorry.
How about shave half my body and install a unibrow?
He's offering to do both. This guy wants to go.
Vince,
I think it'd be hilarious.
What do you do for a living?
I actually work for Southwest Gas Company.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working right now, actually, just reading meters.
All right. Well, keep Vince on the line. He's a candidate. I'm starting to get into this half side, and I do like the flip flop on the beard. And a guy with a beard. And here's the thing about the half shave: a nice big brow would be nice. A beard is a plus. Long hair is a plus. In general, overall hair is definitely a plus.
So we're 17 days away from this. So maybe in a week from now, he can come in, shave, and then we'll see him at the party and make sure that he's maintained this over the course of the week, right?
Yes. Dana?
Adam, what's what's happening, my man?
What's happening? What would you do to go to this party?
I'm telling you, I'll go to North Hollywood High, your old alma mater, mm-hmm. stand there in a full-size diaper, and hold whatever sign you need me to hold to advocate your success life.
I think just getting someone to stand in a diaper in front of my own high school says I've arrived.
Well, I'm about 285, so it's not going to be a pleasant sight anyway.
Whoa.
All right, I'm gonna think about it. That's the thing. If you want to call in with a suggestion, if we're inspired, we'll go with it. I mean, we have some good ones on the list here, but again, no one is as creative as the person who actually wants the tickets to the Playboy Mansion. So certainly no one on my staff. So you call in. I didn't mean no one. I meant no one that we employ. 866-901-ADAM. If you inspire us, we'll do it. Someone wants to walk down the street naked. Not bad. Here's someone who wants me to kick them in the groin. I don't know how I feel about that. Devin?
Good morning, sir.
You say I can kick you in the groin?
I will crawl to the deepest depths of human shame to get into the Playboy Mansion, sir.
I understand, but you're going to need your groin when you get to the Playboy Mansion.
I'm a quick healer.
I'm a hard kicker, though.
I know. You sound like a hard kicker.
I don't know if I would feel good about kicking a man in the groin.
Well, Risco will do it.
I give you complete license to think of the dirtiest thing you can do to me, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just put me in, coach.
All right, but that's the point, Devin. I'm going to need you to think of something.
All right.
I want you to inspire us.
How about, you know, like workout circuits, how they do everything for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
How about we set up a circuit of the bong hit, the nut kicking, all of it, all the stuff you just mentioned, and I will do it. Give me a time limit.
Circuit shaming.
An all-star shaming circuit, yeah.
I like that.
All right. I don't know. I feel like you should come up with your own unique thing, or though maybe we can just assign you one that's on the list. We're going to keep working on this, but I'm glad to see, and I'm tickled pink at the listener's response to this.
They're so enthusiastic. I mean, Adam, you've been there, and you're the only one of us who has. Is it all that? Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, I'm giving it some thought because it depends when you go. I've been to things that have been there during the daylight hours that were sort of business-esque, that were not exactly what you dreamt of when you were a young boy looking through the pages of Playboy. But I've also been at night to some of the midsummer night, whatever, or I have been to the Halloween parties there before, too, and those are magical.
Really?
Halloween, best time. Again, you want to go at night. You want to go to some function where there's going to be playmates there, not just a bunch of business guys. And when they have a theme like Halloween, you're sure to see boobies. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. We will continue this. We'll pick pudding off of Tad's nipples. Lick pudding off Tad's nipples. Some of these border on homoerotic.
Some.
They all do. Yeah. All right, they all do. I don't know. See, here's the thing. Like, I want you to be humiliated, but I don't want to watch Tad getting licked. It's going to be weird for me and possibly arousing. I may not like what I see in the mirror when I get home. Arianna Huffington is going to come in next. There's a nice juxtaposition. Author, political pundit, dear, dear friend. We'll speak to her. You guys keep dreaming up tortures for yourself, and we'll continue this as well. Arianna Huffington, next.
And now, former California gubernatorial hopeful and author of On Becoming Fearless in Love, Work, and Life, Arianna Huffington on The Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Arianna.
Good to see you, Adam.
It's been a while.
Thank you for the applause.
I think I probably saw you last at Politically Incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I saw you last at the Melrose Improv when we're raising money for animals or something.
Not for animals, for at-risk children at the place called home.
I look at them as animals. At-risk children, animals.
Oh, my God.
Yes, we're raising money for at-risk children. That's right. Yes, you and your buddy, on-again, off-again lover, Bill Maher. Bill said to me, I said, well, Bill, what do you want me to do? I'm not a stand-up comedian. He said, he said, come on down. He said, we'll do a little Loveline thing. I'll be Dr. Drew, you know, you be Adam. We'll go up on stage. It'll be fantastic. We'll take some questions. I said, I don't know. People are watching stand-up guys with polished act. We go up there and just tell people to raise their hands. Yeah, it'll be fine. I said, well, why don't we work out some of the beats on it? Let's go out front. He said, yeah, let's go out front where it's quiet. We'll talk about it for a beat, and then we'll go back in and we'll do it. I said, fine. We went out there. He blew a joint, and then we went back in. No, I said, well, not only do we not talk about this, you're now stoned, and we get to go up on stage, and I get
but
to think about
it. You were great.
Thank you, baby great. Doll.
You were.
I was just thinking, oh, Dr. Drew is stoned because I'm method. So Ariana was there, and Ariana has a new book coming out called, or it is out, called Becoming Fearless and Love Work and Life. What would you tell people to become fearless and love work and life? How do we do that?
Well, I would tell them, first of all, that being fearless doesn't mean having no fears. It means doing what you want to do, saying what you want to say, even while you're afraid. It's like a muscle, you know, when you start working out, mm-hmm. and at first you're a little flabby, and then the more you use that fearlessness muscle, the stronger it becomes, the easier it gets next time, and the more your life gets changed. Otherwise, it's like waiting to live. Because you're so afraid of failure, especially failure. You know, I wrote the book because I have two teenage daughters who are 15 and 17. Mm. And I saw this fear of failing, and I thought, what's the big deal? I have failed so many times in my life. You know, you fail, you get up, you start again. Your recovery time is what matters. There is nobody who has an interesting life who hasn't failed, hasn't been fired, hasn't lost a job, hasn't lost a relationship. So that's the whole point. In relationships, it's my most personal book. I write about the man I was crazy about in my 20s who wouldn't marry me, didn't want children. I had the choice, stay with him, settle, as so many of us do, or leave. And I left, and I was terrified when I left. I didn't know what the future was. I didn't just leave London where I was living with him. I moved to New York. It was the best thing I did in my life. I didn't know it at the time.
Well, I found, you know, when people lament moving or getting dumped or quitting or getting fired or any big change in life, I always say to them, look back on your life and tell me when change was a bad thing. Sure, once in a while, the change is I've been diagnosed with cancer, but right. most of the stuff, I got kicked out of this, or I had to move, or I got fired, or I quit, or my girlfriend dumped me. But if you look back on your life, when has that ever really screwed you up? Would you want to be with that person you were with 15 years ago today? Would you want to be at that job you got fired from 15 years ago today? Would you, you know, just do the math. It's rarely ever a bad thing. It's kind of a good thing.
You would be a very good person in somebody's fearlessness tribe, as I call it. You know, I believe that everybody should build their little tribe of people who sounded exactly like you sounded a minute ago.
Yes, people who inspire them.
Yes, people who are like their cheerleaders. Yes, very good.
Speaking of fearless, I was doing my Survivor dance last night because I TiVo'd it. And I watched it last night. My wife told me, get up, do your Survivor dance. I do it, and I normally do it with my four-month-old little girl where I hold her like a football. And do my Heisman pose, but she was upstairs sleeping. But she's a fearless little girl.
She's a fearless little girl. You can tell right away.
I'm holding her,
right?
I'm holding her like a Wilson football. She has no problem
she
with it.
She loves it, right?
Well, you know what? Children are a great sort of role model of fearlessness. Mm-hmm. Because have you noticed how they get upset, mm-hmm. and then they get unupset, and then it's over. It's like, it's as though, what was that about? And that's what I'm saying in the book. Don't hold grudges. Keep moving on. You know how people hold on to things?
Yes.
And then we have this voice in our head. Do you have a voice in our head like mine? I call mine my obnoxious roommate living in my head.
No, yeah, mine's called Brusca. But go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of a na-na-na-na-na. That's it. How did you know? How
it's
did
Kimmel,
you know
yeah.
what my obnoxious roommate sounds like? It sounded exactly like that. And constantly undermining you, putting you down, doubting you. Okay, it's time to silence that obnoxious roommate because no...
Thank you.
How do you do it?
Okay, how you do it, first of all, is by a sense of humor.
Got to cut your head off.
You've got to treat that obnoxious roommate like a child that you're kind of amused by, so that you don't take it seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, my mother, who's my big fearless heroine in the book, used to tell me, angels fly because they take themselves lightly. You know, the more seriously we take ourselves, the more trouble we get into. Because, God, you know, other than death and sickness, you know, most of life is just something to be dealt with as an adventure rather than as something.
Well, I've as a former loser from a guy who comes from a family that's essentially paralyzed with fear and doesn't do anything ever, and you know, I mean, I come from a kind of family where my mom was on welfare, and I said to her when I was a kid, why don't you get off welfare and get, why don't you get yourself a job like everyone else? She said, if I get a job, I'll lose my welfare check. That was a very important message to send to a 9-year-old Adam Carolla. But I listened. When you have a family that's built on the world's out to get you, hey, man, one step forward, two steps back, doesn't matter what you do, you know it ain't going to work out. You don't have any experience with success. Once you do experience success, it builds on that the muscle, last success. Yeah. It builds the muscle, whatever metaphor you want to use. There's a certain personal momentum you get where I do something, therefore it will work out because it's me. The same reason it didn't work out because it was you some years earlier. You need to move forward and experience success. A lot of people that grow up in environments that are sort of, you know, we talk about poverty and we talk about education. We talk about single family parents and all. We talk about all these things, but these are just labels. It's really these kids have no idea that they can be successful in life. They've never seen it. Certainly, it's not happening in their family. It's not happening with anyone else on the block. So they just feel like life is one crappy job after the next. And then eventually you get arrested.
No, you know what? That's why... More important than anything is to find at least one person in their life who believes in them. One person who can say you can do it. Mm-hmm. And then once they do one thing, however insignificant it may appear to the outside world, they have a reference point. And then the key thing is when you are knocked down, as you are going to be knocked down by life, to know you can get up again and start again. And you see that happening. And you see that happening. That's why we are donating the book to a lot of at-risk kids and young women and young men, because there are so many stories here, not just from my life, but from, you know, Diane Keaton down to a Nobel Prize winner who failed and then started again. And that way you see that it's happened in everybody's life. It's the universal experience, fear and failure and starting again.
When those young kids in the inner city hear what Diane Keaton has been through, the love and the loss with the Woodman, the early years, they look up to her. She's a role model. I know,
okay,
it's pretty, let me tell you.
How about Mariska Hargitay?
Puff Daddy's number one, Michael Jordan, and then Keaton, close three.
Well, let's have you, baby. Let's have Adam Carolla's story.
They're not listening to me
well,
either.
Well, speaking of young kids, what is your advice to Mark Foley? He should just get back to it, get back up on his feet, and press forward with life?
After a long period in the rehab.
A lot of rehab. Hey, we have a clip, I believe, that always amused me. I know you're not Hungarian.
I'm Greek.
You're Greek.
Yes.
But you always sounded like the third Gabor sister.
And nobody has ever said that
I'm sure it's never
Adam,
been
so
brought
really
up. But has anyone been stupid enough to actually play a clip of Green Acres?
Well, Oliver, here it is a week later.
A week later than what?
Then when Mrs. Ifill came over here to do her washing.
I know it's a week later. You don't have to march in here and announce that.
Well, that's how they always do it in the movies. Is either somebody comes in carrying a sign which says, here it is a week later.
I miss those Gabor sisters. My grandfather, who is Hungarian, used to say they're a horse.
For some reason,
nobody likes anybody from their home country. They either love them or they hate them. There's no in between.
But you know what? That's kind of an interesting point. You know, when I started speaking, I was so ridiculed for my accent.
You were?
Yes, because I was in England. And in England, you know, they take accents, you know, even more seriously than here. And that was really a great education about going on and doing it anyway, even when you're being criticized or ridiculed. And we have lots of stories. If your listeners want to go to fearlessvoices.com, they can share their stories of fear and fearlessness and read some amazing people, including Puff Daddy. Okay, how is that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
Puff Daddy.
What does he have
Puff
to say?
Puff Daddy. Yeah, you have to go to fearlessvoices.com to find out.
Or you can go to Borders on Westwood Boulevard on Wednesday at 7 p.m. You'll be doing a reading and a signing.
Reading and speaking and signing and whatever.
That is 7 o'clock, and we're in Puff Daddy in there. Well, always inspiring. Now, are you doing? You're doing real time with Bill Maher. You do that quite a bit, right?
I'm doing it on the 27th,
and you've done it quite a bit because of your dear friends. And you used to do PI often, as I would. People ask me all the time, "Well, how come you're?" When they say to me, "Why aren't you doing the new Bill Maher show?" And I say, "I don't know why. I don't know
if
he's a little."
Why should change that?
Well, we should.
Yeah. I'm going to send him an email right now on my BlackBerry.
Yes, good idea.
You are.
Yes. Well, Arianna Huffington right also now. Used to write for Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher, yes?
I didn't write for it. No. But I love the show. I love Bill. And he's fearless. You know, look at how many... Look at, you know, his show was canceled. That's a very good example of fearlessness. His show gets canceled by ABC. He gets up, gets another show, but keeps going.
Yes, I agree. And the thing is, it's not always... You know, if it was, you know, if you got dumped and then you're dating the woman of your dreams later, you got a new, it's sometimes, you know, he was off TV for a year and change, maybe more.
And he was attacked and he was criticized. You're absolutely right. That is the key. Hold on a second.
No, I'm pointing at you. Don't point at me. I'm pointing at you. I like when people point. Put your finger down. Put your finger down. Really? That's your finger telling my finger to go down?
What he said is incredibly important because during that time when nothing is happening, you have to stop that obnoxious roommate from telling you nothing will ever happen again. Mm. That's the key.
For him, it's a hookup.
You know, you can't see around the corner of where the new guy, the new girl, the new job, you think this is it. It's going to be dark forever. I'm lost. So that's when you need your tribe. That's when you need your sense of humor. That's when you need your role models. That's when you need to be listening to Adam Carolla to get your energy up.
Well, that's my point. If you would have said to Bill Maher 3 years ago, hey, you're going to lose this cushy gig known as Politically Incorrect. I'm sure he got a nice paycheck. The way the work schedule was is I think it was 3 days a week. They would tape a couple shows a night. As I recall, he'd probably work, like Tuesday through Thursday or whatever it is, 3 days a week, short days. He could do it in his sleep. He's done so many of the shows and he got a nice fat paycheck and he was on network TV every night. If you would have said to him 3 years ago, hey, you're going to lose all this, he would have hung on with both hands and said, please don't take it away from me. Now, if you spoke to Bill Maher, I'm sure he would say, you know what? That was boring. It was repetitive. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. I can go on. I'm now on cable. I can say what I want. I can speak my mind. I can drop an S-bomb. I can get into topics that I couldn't get into when the man was watching over me. He probably wouldn't trade that for anything now.
Exactly. So, but that applies to everybody's life. We just need to stop that voice. You know, I quote Montaigne in the book who said, there were many, a great French writer. Don't worry about his name. It doesn't matter who
he is. Well, don't drop it if we don't know it.
But what he said is, there were many terrible things in my life, but most of them never happened. Remember that.
It's true.
You know, how many times haven't you worried about things and then you look back and it didn't happen?
Right.
So anytime you should never lose in your own fantasies. How about that?
It's good.
I said that.
Strong. Arianna Huffington, everybody. The more you know. Well.
Okay, I have one more thing. One more thing, which is a phenomenal applause line.
All right.
Hold on.
All right, go ahead.
You know how often we start projects in our head, like we think we're going to learn to play tennis, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Okay, every year we need to look at that list of projects we start in our head and realize that there are many things we're never going to do and drop them. So here's my saying, you can complete a project by dropping it.
So not be distracted by
it. Yes, because then you get rid of those projects and you concentrate on things that you really... Come on, okay, it wasn't that good. Drop it, okay?
Right.
That applause went on a little too long.
Yeah, you're right,
okay?
Right. Well, I'm sorry.
It was okay. It was an okay line.
Brian, you can pick yourself back up, right, after this kind of failure.
Arianna, I was going to read your book, but now I've been inspired to drop it. On Becoming Fearless in Love, Work, and Life, Arianna Huffington, going to be at Borders Westwood, Wednesday, 7 p.m., reading and signing. Arianna, always good to see you, my dear.
Great to see you, Adam. See you in real time next.
That's right. Sure.
Put in a good word.
Yes, go find out. Go talk to Mar and find out what's going on.
The email has gone.
All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. I think we're going to do news when we come back. T?
Yes.
What's in it?
Well, speaking of people who need to pick themselves back up after a failure, what about the people who get busted by Chris Hansen on To Catch a Predator? We'll be hearing from some of them. And also, a page has come out to say that he, in fact, did have sex with Foley after he was a page.
We'll get to all that after this.
Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
Kiss another girl? Ew!
Oh, I love it when you talk dirty. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Arianna Huffington leaving reminds me, because I played that little clip of Ava Gabor from Green Acres. I've been watching Survivors, I always do, this season. There's a guy on it who's from New York, and he's a writer. His voice has been bothering me for a few weeks, and then I realized why. He sounds like Alan Alda. Listen to the guy from Survivor. I watched this last night. It's Thursday nights, but here we go.
This thing is newborn, like, today. Just covered with its stuff. I mean, it couldn't hold its head up. It had been born within 24 hours. And it's in my hand. I mean, I wanted to cry. I felt terrible.
It is a scene from MASH.
Especially the last, it's in my hand. I wanted to cry. I felt terrible. Now, here's Alan Alda.
I was 2 years old, 2 and 3 years old, standing in the wings watching burlesque, watching the strippers and the chorus girls for a couple of years there. It's that's an interesting beginning.
Actually, all this a little weak. I think he's slipping. Someone's got to talk to him, like, Alan, look, I'm a friend, so I'm going to tell you. There's a guy in Survivor that sounds much more like you than you actually just sound. The first guy sounded a little more Alda-esque than the actual Alan Alda, so he's going to have to step it up. Maybe he's getting older. Maybe he's lost his step, or maybe he's just getting a little long in the tooth, but it drives me nuts. And anyway, that's apropos of nothing, but I'll tell you, something that isn't apropos of nothing, Teresa Strasser with her news.
North Korea reportedly firing off. Can you imagine if North Carolina was testing its nuclear weapons? North Korea reportedly testing its nuclear weapons this morning. A lot of countries upset. But let's get right to national news and the representative, the Republican Mark Foley scandal. The Los Angeles Times reporting that a former page in this case is coming out saying that he was IMing with Foley after he finished the Page program. In other words, he was not a page at the time. They had a sexual encounter, according to this man who's remaining anonymous, when he was 21 years old. Now, the anonymous source quoted in the LA Times is saying, quote, "It seemed cool that he was taking an interest in me. I knew he was gay and he was attracted to me." He also said that Foley once wrote him an IM that said, quote, "I always knew you were a player, but I don't fool around with pages." Interesting. So more will be revealed in that case.
Yeah, it's great because they're digging up all sorts of old footage of him on these talk shows explaining how these animals who prey via the internet on underage kids have to be stopped.
Yes, I saw some footage of him saying we've got to do something. Obviously, he was involved in legislation to try and curb online predators.
This is why I think half the cops are criminals. Whenever you take too big an interest in something, it always means there's something going on. As I've said many times, when my kids get to the age where they can go into the Cub Scouts or they can go into Little League or whatever, whenever it involves camping and adults, I'm going to say, look, listen, fellas, raise your hand. Who wants to take the kids up to Mount Pinos for the weekend? If I see a hand go up, you. You'll be taken out of the room now. Who doesn't want to take the kids? I don't. You're going. I want the guy who doesn't want to work around kids working with my kids.
It seems like a good idea. And online predators, a big topic on Dateline NBC Friday night. Chris Hansen was back. As usual, he has a decoy chatting online. The decoy pretends to be a 13-year-old. Then when the guys show up, there's an 18-year-old actress. She's making lemonade. She goes behind a curtain and she says, she's got to get herself ready to go in the hot tub. And then who pops out but Chris Hansen, who, Adam, you pointed out, the guys always kind of think is her dad. They're confused. So in this case, a 31-year-old computer engineer stops by. Chris Hansen comes popping out and he has that moment where he has to decide what his story is. And he decides that his story is that he's concerned because the girl's home alone.
What part in the counseling process was the oral sex going to play?
I was not. Like,
what?
I said,
did
I'm
you
not
your words?
Yeah, because, like I said, you know, she's the one who led me on all this.
I am just being very bad, like a pervert.
She was playing and I was playing. I guess that's all about it, honestly. Yeah, I'm looking into your eyes straight and telling you the truth. My conflict of coming here was to make sure she was okay.
Well, I'm looking you straight in the eyes and I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
I like the guys who say they just were hanging. I just want to come over and hang. You just want to hang with a 13-year-old you met on the internet? You're a 41-year-old long-haul trucker? Thought you'd drive 200 miles, 4 hours, and hang?
It was sad. There were a few military guys, and then there was a doctor who really flipped out. And
Takes all kinds.
He was the only guy that had the $30,000 bail, the doctor. But one of my favorite parts of this series is when Hansen, they come up with their excuses about how it wasn't them, and then he has to read from the actual transcript and in his really angry voice. And here are a few snippets of that.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad. I'd let you in just so I could feel you on top of me.
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon. What girl wants to give oral sex when a man isn't shaved?
Not since Sam Donaldson quoted Two Live Crew.
Yes.
The Two Live Crew, a band, has been arrested in Dade County. Their popular song, Me So Horny.
News ain't just for the white man. It's for the bros and sisters, too. Mad props to the hood, yo.
I'll tell you the guy I want taking my kids camping. Buttermaker from Bad News Bears.
Yes.
Walter Matthau.
He hated kids.
That's the guy you want taking. Not the kid. Not one of Bill the Board Ops buddies. Oh, please. Turning beet red, nervous with excitement. I'll take the kids up to Mount Pinos. You want the guys like, oh, Christ. Well, I'll bring a couple packs of smokes and a case of Coors, and I'll just be sitting over here slowly getting drunk while you guys do whatever you do around the campfire.
2006 has really become the year of the pedophile,
yes,
has it
it's
not?
Really. It seems like yes, there was the John Mark Carr who sang this song, and then there was the school shooting, two school shootings. Shootings that involve pedophilia. Mm-hmm. And then To Catch a Predator is, you know, I think it used to be on once in a while. Now it seems like it's on every week. Chris Hansen eventually always has to end up saying this.
You're telling me a big fat lie.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. Do it, Dave.
Enough with the mirth about pedophilia. It's time to talk about the grim weekend that was. What an awful, awful weekend it was for me in the world of sports. First of all, it won't be any Major League Baseball in Southern California until next spring. That's because both the Dodgers and Padres got eliminated from the playoffs over the weekend. Key statistic from from that San Diego series, Padres went 2-for-32 with runners in scoring position. Another key statistic, the Padres lost more games than they won. So that affected the outcome.
Were they both all swept, right? Or did the Dodgers or Padres win one? Dodgers were swept,
Padres,
right?
Won a game in St. Louis, yes. They
but
won
they both
three.
Took, what did it take the Dodgers to be eliminated? 4 days?
3 games, 4 days, yes.
4 days. 9 months of building up into losing in 4 days.
Well,
enjoy.
Sad.
To begin the theme of what a miserable weekend it was for me, my World Series pick before the playoffs began, Dodgers versus Yankees. Between those two teams.
You said the Dodgers would be playing the Steelers. I was like, Dave, you said, I'm on a roll. You were drunk with power at that time.
Who do you think it'll be now in the World Series?
Who cares what I think? If I predict it, then you should bet the opposite.
No, just this week, you've been excellent at picking
I'll
up
go Athletics versus Metropolitans. No. That's my pick.
Right. You put but a curse on Brian's team now.
Yes, look out for the Twins and Cardinals in
now,
the fall
I
classic.
I don't want to step on it, but we're going to revisit the spinning of the wheel.
We can revisit it. All right, let's huddle up and talk about the miserable weekend that was in football. Ofer across the board for Damashek. Both my fantasy teams lost. The pools I'm in went horribly. As you say, Ace, you beat me in our weekly picks. For the first time in the history of this show, I had a losing record. I went 1-2-1, whereas Ace went 3-0-1. He spun the wheel, of course. It came up at the highest possible dollar amount. I am now into Ace for $5,000, combined with the $400 I was in for last week. So now, $5,400 to the multimillionaire.
Well, the thing that was wonderful. Funny about it is, Dave, we have a wheel. We spin the loser. I mean, the winner gets to spin the wheel. There's a spin again, and there's double last week, and there's 50 cents just for fun, but it goes up to $5,000. Dave thought it went up to 2,000. So as Dave was saying, please don't land on 2,000, it was landing on 5,000. I guess it heard you, Dave. It didn't land on 2,000. You
enjoying yourself?
The other thing is,
laugh. It feels good. I'm sure.
I lost the first 3 weeks. I lost $50, $50, and $500. But then I won the last 2 weeks, and it landed on $1,000 and $5,000.
And you were talking earlier this morning about how you're an unlucky person. Now, that's not the only bet I lost. Of course, I lost to the Chargers, Sean Merriman, who bludgeoned poor number 7, Big Ben Roethlisberger, and the Steelers last night in front of a national TV audience. It was a shame. Here's the bet that Merriman and I made on the show Friday morning. So if the Steelers win, you have to shave DD into the side of your head, my initials, and then what would you like to have happen in return if the Steelers should lose, which is a moot point because they're not going to.
You got to put on a skirt.
Put on a skirt. All right, so I'll be wearing a skirt tomorrow. As a matter of fact, on AdamCarolla.com's message board, there are already several cut-and-pasted pictures of me in a
they're
dress.
They're very creative, those online message boards.
Yes,
people.
I have a nice maroon number picked out. I'm an autumn, and I think it'll really set off my eyes. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, I am a big enough person. Couple nice things to say about the Chargers. I'm a class act. Number one, those powder blue jerseys they wore are with the white helmets and the black numbers on the side of the hats. Those are terrific. Number two, couple great names on that team. Brandon Manumuliano, former Ram.
Strong,
maybe
yeah.
even better. I like
oh,
this
tight
one.
Tight end, yeah. Manumuliano. Yeah, it's a good name.
Even better, maybe. Corey Leckerkirker. Leckerkirker. I love that one. Good weekend for a couple of USC guys. Reggie Bush scored the first touchdown of his NFL career. That led the Saints to their win. Arizona Cardinals blew a 10-point lead at home to the KC Chiefs. That was the tie for the week for us. That should have been a win for me. Matt Leinart had a nice debut. Bush and Leinart's old pals from SC eked out another one over the weekend against the Washington Huskies. They're now ranked third in the nation. And to put a nice cherry on top of my miserable football weekend, you know, I hate the Pink song, the NBC Sunday night song that is just awful. I wait all night for Sunday nights, the parody song of the Joan Jett, Hate Myself for Loving You. We did get the alternatives. It turns out that, as a matter of fact, here's one of the rejected songs that they opted not to go with.
Football.
Wow.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right. Well, we spoke about this earlier. We're going to head out to the Playboy Mansion on the 26th of October. We're doing a little nighttime show over there. Playmates, girls dressed in body paint. Do a little Halloween party. We're going to invite some of the listeners to come with us. Now, the guys, you got to earn your way on. It's on the website, AdamCarolla.com. Some of the challenges are on there, doing a bong load of Big Tad's pubes or getting the unibrow added on the bridge of your nose. Ladies, I must say, we will take you. You do not have to do anything but look good in your outfit.
Really? Is it first come, first served?
I think what we'll do is you'll take a picture of yourself if you're a lady in your Halloween costume. It must look hot. And send it to us at AdamCarolla.com, and we'll take all the single hot women that we get, and then we'll take some of the J.O. guys. They're willing to, you know, have Dave hit a golf ball off their ass or whatever it's going to take. So we'll talk to more of you. We have things that we've decided we'd like you to do, but I'll tell you one sure way of getting in. Impress us. Somebody call us at 866-901-ADAM. I have a lot of people on here. A lot of stuff about wrapping themselves in duct tape and getting it ripped off. Not bad. Some stuff about licking pudding off Tad's nipples and other things like that. Call up with something interesting. Call up with something imaginative, and we'll get you in. 866-901-ADAM. We'll talk to you about that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, suckers? It's Jack Attack from the San Diego Chargers, Sean Merriman. He's going to make Dave pay up on his bet and wear a skirt. 18-year-old porn star Nikki Nine about to do her first porn. Looks like Jack's going to be in a little early tomorrow. Hey, come on, help a brother out. Also, the creators of Adam's show drawing together. It's going to be wicked hot. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
So we're talking about how to get yourself into the Playboy Mansion on the 26th of October in the evening. We're going to do an evening show there. It's going to be a Halloween show, lots of bunnies, lots of costumes, and all that good stuff. If you're a hot chick, take a picture of yourself in your outfit. Go to AdamCarolla.com, and we'll vote on it. I guess the people that go online will vote on it. So we'll figure that one out. But if you're a guy, you got to earn your keep. Now, we talked about doing a bong load of Tad's pubic hairs and other things like that. We have Sam on line one. Sam?
Yes.
One that Kimmel always wanted to do and we never did do. You say here you're willing to get a tattoo of my face.
I will.
But anything could be confusing when you're at the beach. People are going to be like, why is that dude at Burt Convy tattooed on his ass cheek?
Well, like you were saying, it would be a good story. Be a good, yeah. Good story at a party.
Well, I'll tell you what would be awesome. I got Kimmel's one here, too. I'm going to unveil in a moment. But you know what would be good? Do you have any hair on your back or on your ass?
A little bit on my ass.
You know what would be nice, and a fitting tribute as well, is if you did my face on an ass cheek, and then we shaved it in such a way where it looked like I had a beard.
Oh, yeah. That's cute.
You could use the belly button as one of the eyes, and then down below that, you could have Yasser Arafat or something like that, too. Beard.
I've seen tattoos of people, but it would be great to have a tattoo of a guy's face, especially if it was a guy who oftentimes had a little 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock shadow, and you shaved that patch, and you did it in such a way where you left the hair so it looked like the guy was sporting a beard. That'd be a good look. Yeah. The other one that Jimmy always wanted to do is a tattoo of Tattoo, or a Village
Yes.
S.
We could do that, too.
It'd be full size, but still could go on your forearm. Tattoo of Tattoo, I like. I also like Tattoo of my own face. Well, perhaps we'll get a tattoo artist in here and think about doing both of them. Sam, are you saying you'd be down with either one of those?
Either one of those, yes.
And where would you get this tat?
Well, your face I would get on my ass. If it was a tattoo of Tattoo.
Forehead.
forearm, maybe. Forearm. Mm-hmm.
What size would this tattoo be?
Maybe 5 inches.
Five inches around. That's a good size. That's the size of a saucer. It's a good size.
Good size.
All right, hang on. I'm not sure about the fact that I'd be on your ass, but Tattoo would make it to your forearm for all to see.
That's
a big deal there, yeah. Let's see. Nathan says that Ray can slap him in the ear with poop.
Oh, I like that.
Christian says Ray can shoot water out of his arse onto his head. Boy, I'd love to see that.
I'd like to see this. I've never actually witnessed it. Let's please add that one to the...
I'm not sure if we're legally allowed to do some of these things.
And is your friend Ray still able to do that trick with his arse?
His arse is always at the ready position. He's like a volunteer fireman. That arse is always ready to go down the pole.
Good.
Belly flop in a pool of cow poop. It's just manure. This guy wants to lick pudding off Tad's nipples. I don't want anything of that. I don't want to watch. I don't want to see that. Let's see. Golf ball. Right, Bonnie. Let's talk to Brian down here. Brian?
Yeah, what's up, Adam?
Are you a hairy guy?
I'm hairy enough, you know. I think you got to get the right combination of skin and hair going, but yeah, definitely got the hair going.
And you want to wrap yourself in duct tape?
I'm thinking the head to toe duct tape, like going with the Halloween theme, like the mummy. Maybe just a little sock right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll pull the tape off of you.
Yeah, kind of like a little dreidel. I'll just go spinning.
It's not bad.
I got one for the other caller, to trump the other caller with, have the retro Adam with the afro puff as the armpit hair.
So you do me underneath your arm.
Yeah,
you have
retro Adam.
Your armpit hair is my fro from the 70s. And when you lift your arm up, that's when you reveal the Ace Man in a 70s fro.
And it's smart. Yep, exactly.
And then it's interesting, if you put your arms down, you won't see the tat. It's an interesting place to get a tat. I never really thought about that.
Like a mother, right? I've never gotten one, but I think that sensitive skin would be miserable.
It would, but people get them everywhere. He could handle it. And it's also one of those tats where you could walk around in tank top and people wouldn't necessarily know you had a tat. You certainly could wear short sleeves into the office and no one would know you had a tat. That's interesting.
I like it.
We'll give it some thought. Looking at more of these. Sean wants to do the golf ball. Dave's going to take a pitching wedge and hit a golf ball off a guy's ass.
Six iron, I think.
Six iron?
Yeah.
How is that legal to do? I mean, how do we pass that one? How do we get that one through legal department, but we can't get Ray hitting you in the... Well...
Seems arbitrary.
It does. All right, let's see. Nathan?
Yeah.
You've been on hold for an hour because you want Ray to slap you in the side of the head with some poop?
Well, I would double it up. I'd let Ray slap me in the ear with poop and let you catch my penis in a mousetrap. And possibly get a tattoo on my calf, the entire size of my calf, of what your face would be.
I got to tell you, people really want to go to the Playboy Mansion.
I had no idea that it was this much of a draw.
I wonder if guys were this way pre-Jackass. I think Jackass has kind of set the table for guys just to go, screw it. I'm going to do it, and I got a good war story, and every time someone asks me about this tat, I'll just tell them it's from when I went to the Playboy Mansion. Well, we're going to keep working on this. We appreciate your enthusiasm. Rusky, you sat up in your chair like you had something to say. You got anything you want to add here? You cool?
I'm good.
We good?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to keep working on this. We'll post them. You go to adamcarolla.com. You send in those pictures, we'll post the tasks, and we'll keep sorting it out. But we have
I do like this guy, by the way, because he's obviously a fan of the show. I mean, he's got specific references from the show.
He's up for anything. And how many tickets do we have in total to give away? Is it 60? Is it 30 pair?
30 pair, but they're not all going with the guys. I can guarantee you that.
That's what I know. Yeah. So we got to get some of the chicks in on this. But the point is
I want hot broads, Zacharola.
I'm hilarious. We don't have 8 tickets to give away. We have 60 tickets to give away.
And also, for the women, if they post their photo in their Halloween costume online, you can vote on them. Is that how it's working?
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll speak to our prisoner, David, who's chipper, considering he has a life sentence and will probably never breathe fresh air or free air again, but still a delight from inside a California Correctional Institute. We'll talk to him after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to check in with David, who's doing 25 to life in a California state penitentiary for conspiracy to commit murder.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. We're waiting for him to come up on the phone. In the meantime, I'm going to get into a hypothetical that we stumbled onto a little bit earlier in the program, although I don't think I got into it on the air. We like our hypotheticals here. Sadly, we learned a few weeks back that most men would have sex, most heterosexual men would have sex with an attractive Brazilian man who had undergone genital reassignment surgery and become a woman rather than a heavyset woman.
Yes.
And as a heavyset woman, if you're within the sound of my voice, it is time to drive off that bridge.
No, it was worse when it was a corpse of an attractive woman or a heavyset woman. Remember that one?
Yes, it was, whose corpse?
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson's corpse, fresh corpse, I think, to be fair.
Yes.
To the necrophiliacs are listening. We'd rather have sex with Scarlett Johansson's corpse or a woman who was formerly a man, who was born a man, than a heavyset woman. All right.
Rigor mortis of the wang.
The hypothetical, the new one that's going to be a tough one to answer is we were talking about autoerotic asphyxiation. My grandmother gave me a little heads up on it when I was 17 years old. She sat me down and explained that I know you're in your formative beat off years. Don't put a hefty bag on your head, or if you do, pop a hole in it so you can breathe. Now there's a nice euphoric sensation that comes from choking the life out of yourself while you're choking the life out of your pud. But if you do that, you could die, and that's where they could find you. And I said I knew a guy, young, good-looking, dynamic, smart, and he died this way few years back, and I had to attend his funeral. So now, here is the hypothetical. If you are a parent and your son or daughter, let's just stick with son, because I don't think any women go this way, and your son kills himself in this fashion, what do you tell the people that ask? Do you tell them he killed himself and leave it at that, or do you work the autoerotic asphyxiation one? Now, everyone's knee-jerk reaction is, I'm not going to tell him about the autoerotic, I'll just say he killed himself. But that just means you're perfectly healthy, 20-something-year-old or 19-year-old son took his own life. What? And what does it say about you as a parent? And then secondly, people are going to have follow-up questions. There's no right. follow-up questions to the hefty bag on the head. There are plenty of follow-up. Oh, my God, he was depressed. But he had everything to live for. He was doing great in college. He had a beautiful girlfriend. What the heck was he? So that's the stigma of the son killing himself via an embarrassing accident versus the stigma of a child killing himself, which, again, doesn't look good on the resume of a parent.
It's like, yeah, well, it's like Michael Hutchins as we hear the NXS play. When he died, there was a lot of debate. Did he kill himself or was he just slapping his meat?
Right.
And this was the question, you know, and if it's not the parent, then also, what would you prefer, Ace? How would you like to be remembered? You're found with a belt around your neck and your pants around your ankle. So would you like people to think that you took your life intentionally or you were... beating the bejesus out of yourself.
That's tough.
It's tough, and then who's going to tell the kids?
Oh, now there's kids involved. That makes
it worse. I thankfully have already prepared a videotape in case this happens. It's me going, son, if you see this, it means I've passed away. Not because daddy was strangling himself and beating off. No way! Anyway, I love you. And the girl, can't remember her middle name. No, you see me look down. You see me look off and check my quarterback wristband. I love you and your sister, Natalia. And if you've seen this video, it means Papa's not here. But that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. And it sure as hell doesn't mean he was strangling himself and strangling his pud simultaneously.
So, suicide equals tortured soul.
Yes.
And autoerotic asphyxiation accident means you're an incompetent pervert.
Yeah.
Right.
Both are bad. Hmm.
Unclear, too, if you're a religious person, which one gets you to hell faster. Yeah. They say if you kill yourself, you can't get to heaven. But what if you kill yourself masturbating by mistake?
Then that's it's like manslaughter. It was accidental. Didn't mean to.
That is heaven on a technicality.
Yes.
What are you going with, Ace?
Okay, so this is what do I prefer for my children?
Yes. And so I assume the answer will be the same for you.
I will say the reason I'll say autoerotic asphyxiation is if they kill themselves, it means they were unhappy for quite some time, tortured and miserable. And I will go with this. I will go with the autoerotic asphyxiation one because ending your own life has so much more to it. You know, there's that part where why couldn't they talk to me? Why couldn't they open up about their problems? They're never going to open up about strangling themselves with electric cord and masturbating. But why couldn't they have told me about their depression? What could I have done? Could we have got them on medication? Could I have gotten them to counseling? I'm going to bizarrely say the autoerotic asphyxiation.
Wow.
I am going to go with never having children, so I don't have to deal with this.
All right, T, how say you?
Oh, this is so difficult, but I think I'm going to agree with you because, yes, if they kill themselves, then it's obvious that they were tortured for a long time, and I was a bad parent because I never talked to them, and mm-hmm. I didn't pick up on it.
Mm-hmm. It'll be great, too, when you get into that conversation. What happened to Sonny? He died doing what he loved. Was that mountain bike riding? Nope. Base jumping? Nope. Water skiing? Let me just cut to it, because I don't think this is going to work. Unless you're very twisted. Prisoner David?
Adam, how you doing?
Wait. I'm an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, morning. Time that, Brian. Our sound effects guy, Brian, wants to get a clean recording of that, so he's figured out the timing on it. He's going to shush us when it comes... time to play again. What's up, prisoner David?
Well, today I've got somebody right here I would like to talk to. He's going to be paroling in about 2 months. And, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that are always paroling back and forth into prison, you know, getting busted back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured we need to talk to somebody that's actually been there. You know what I'm saying?
All right, so you got a guy who's been paroled now 5 times, is it?
Yes, 5 times. Okay, big picture this. From age 19 to 30, he's already done 5 different prior prison terms.
And now he's up for parole in a few months.
In 2 months.
Okay. Well, let me talk to him. What's his name?
His name is Johnny. He's from Colton, the city of Colton.
Local boy. Fantastic.
All right, here he is.
Hello?
Johnny.
What's up, man?
What's happening, Johnny?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just waiting to get home and give me some tail.
Right. Now, Johnny, you should get yourself some job, too.
Oh, I have a job. I'm in sales.
You are. You sell license plates?
Funny guy.
Thank you. Don't kill me when you get out, please.
I'll try not to.
All right, so Johnny, you've been paroled 5 times.
Yes, I have.
And you're back in the joint,
yes,
obviously, for breaking parole. What is going to stop you from breaking it a 6th time when you're paroled shortly?
Winning the lottery?
So, what is your plan when you get to the outside? Do you have kids? Do you have a wife who's waiting for you?
Well, I used to have kids and a wife waiting for me, but eventually Sancho actually moved in and had a kid with her. You know, I'm sure you know about Sancho.
Sancho's the name of the guy
who's always at your house right when you go to prison.
Yeah, Sancho is the name of the guy who's cheating with your old lady. It's like a John is the name of the guy who's going out to get a hooker.
Hey, you're kind of smart, man.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's right in that song. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've got to fight. It's in that Sublime song. He's gonna shoot Sancho when he finds him catching with his lady.
Santeria.
That's right.
Santeria, that's right. So, Johnny.
Yeah, well, I was someone Sancho, but now I'm just Johnny.
So you get out, you have your parole officer.
And every parole officer is different, but more than likely, you're a second-class citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And they treat you like crap.
Well, how do you get a job when you're a 5-time loser?
Well, see, that's the whole problem. When you get that application and it says you've ever been convicted of a felony, you have to put yes, right?
Right.
And then when they look at that and they see it, they go, oh, well, we're not going to hire you because you're going to rob us too.
Right. Well, what business, sir, do you have? Have you learned anything in the joint, like, you know, auto body work or bricklaying or something?
Nope. I'm one of those unlucky few that doesn't get a trade, which a lot of people do. They get a trade, you know, they end up learning some kind of good skill or another. But me, I just learned how to do a little bit of shipping and receiving and optical. And, any monkey could do that.
Well, I'll tell you,
is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Trying to time it, although we'll have me saying quiet on the front of it.
We were so close.
Yeah.
Hey, Johnny. Look, I don't want to seem pessimistic, but why don't you just stay in the joint?
You know, I thought about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one time I told my wife, baby, you know, I'm sorry, but I think I got to go home. She goes, okay, I'll meet you there. I go, no, I'm at back to prison.
Yeah.
You feel more at home in prison than at your actual home.
I do. I mean, I don't need nothing. I got 3 meals.
How many years of, how old are you now?
I'm 30.
You're 30. How many years have you been behind bars?
Okay, in the last 13 years, I'll have spent 10 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
My kids pretty much grew up without me.
Right.
Which, you know, sucks for me.
It does suck, but soon, how old are they?
They're 13, 12, and 11.
Okay, so soon they'll be moving them from juvie into the main prison, so you get to be reunited with them.
I can fuck with my son.
Oh, together at last, son. I knew you wouldn't abandon your father in the joint. Well, Johnny, I'd like to figure out what we can do with you. There's a part of me that thinks, well, maybe we'll give him a job over here.
Let him produce the show.
Hey, you can produce the show.
Can any monkey do that?
Well, you and Brusca get into a knife fight. We'll do that thing where we lash your two hands together with a buffalo hide, and then we'll give a knife to your free hand, and you guys do it up. Then let the winner produce the show.
Oh, I've heard about that, dude. He's a pansy. I'll do it without the knife.
Yeah. All right, Brusca just sent me a note that said, bring it, puss.
You can do this job anytime you want, especially if you carried a knife.
All right, so Johnny, please stay clean when you get out. As a taxpayer, please.
See, staying clean isn't really the problem. You know, when people parole, it's just about getting that job. If a person can't get the job, well, then they got no choice but to make a living somehow.
I understand. I'm putting him on hold because we're almost out of time, and I just want to say something without interruption, which is, I want us to be tough on prisoners as well, but I also don't want to just keep putting them through the system and recycling them, spitting them out, letting them coast for a few months. Eventually, they hold somebody up, and then they go back again. At least we're in the, they're in the joint. Let's try to give them some kind of, you know, skills, vocational skills. Get them out. Get them a job. Of course, they can't get a job, and they just get spat out with $80 and a new suit. They're coming back within days, right? I mean, what are the chances of I couldn't get a gig when I got out of high school and I didn't even have any warrants. I wasn't a felon or anything. I couldn't find a decent job.
It makes you
job.
Think they should just lie on the job application and hope that nobody checks whether they have a felony.
That's what I would do, except for the teardrop tat does give it away sometimes. Yes.
Sorry, we have 30 seconds till that thing goes off again.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure.
Well, hold on. Let me try this. Johnny?
Yeah.
You still there?
Yep.
All right, now we may have to be quiet in a few seconds so Brian can get a clean recording.
It's very important.
10 seconds.
All right. Let's just have an uncomfortable silence, all right, Johnny?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Thank you.
That was sick.
Now you can look forward to Brian effing that out in the next 3 to 5 days on this show.
We'll be hearing a lot of that.
That's right. All right, we need to take a break.
That's how I roll.
We'll be right back after this.
This is Rainn Wilson. I play Dwight Schrute on NBC's The Office, and you are listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, just enough time for a little something called So What Have We Learned? Well, last year, where's my music? There we go. We learned that last year was the year of the dragon, but 06, year of the pedophile. Not sure how you draw that on the Chinese calendar, but I'm going to hash it out. My PSA for kids, when choking the life out of your penis, don't choke the life out of yourself. The more you know. Be a nice PSA for me to do. Like to see Trump do that one, too, just as a backup. And also, right now, as we speak, Sancho is banging the bejesus out of your old lady.
Good times.
Well, let's see. Tomorrow, 18-year-old porn virgin.
Oh.
18-year-old girl. First time she's ever done porn. Never done it before. Maybe we'll talk her out of it. Maybe we won't. We'll see what she looks like. She's hot. I'm not going to talk her out of it. San Diego Chargers superstar Sean Merriman in to collect on his bet. And also my good buddies from the hit Comedy Central show Drawn Together are going to be in here. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.